93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Wednesday, May 9th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Lower Southampton police are looking for a driver that was involved with a passenger in a road rage incident in Feasterville Tuesday morning. It happened at 11 a.m. at the intersection of Old Bristol Road and Bridgetown Pike. The victim said that he honked his horn to urge the car in front of him to turn right at the light, and then the driver and passenger of that vehicle became upset, eventually firing a gun, hitting the rear passenger door of the car. Yeah, they said there was like an exchange where the guy started driving slow, and then the victim, you know, drove past him. They each gave the finger to each other, and then he looked in his rearview mirror, and then the guy eventually shot a gun at him.
They did get a good video capture of him, though, right?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, and the car that they're looking for.
Can we just leave it at giving the finger and yelling at each other, and just leave it at that? Like, it does not need to go any further than that.
You don't need to get to gun level.
No.
Dork. I know what you're talking about.
Oh, my God.
About.
I had a full road rage incident yesterday myself inside my own car. I didn't shoot anybody. I didn't even give the finger.
Did you yell the C word at all?
Oh, I was cursing, like, words that I don't even usually say. Like, it was, I was
like
so
arboretum.
Angry. It was leaving here.
Arboretum!
It was leaving here down Belmont and, what is it, Rockland, whatever that other road is down by Wawa. Did you guys?
Oh, Rock Hill Road.
Rock Hill Road. Yeah. Like I was like angry, turning around my car like three different times, and they were just doing construction, and nobody was moving. It was terrible.
That's why. But you weren't mad at another motorist.
No, just
you were just mad at traffic.
I was road rage in my own car.
You know, that's okay though. To direct it back at yourself. You know, and just the misery of being locked into a construction area.
I wish I would. I love it when you get that mad. Oh my god, it cracks me up.
My throat was hurting afterwards because I was screaming so loud.
Well, you want to get home. Yeah. Everyone wants to get home.
This is why I was so angry. Let me just explain really quick. So on Rock Hill Road, so Belmont had construction. Rock Hill Road had construction. I didn't know. I turned on Rock Hill and I got to the construction point a little ways up, and I sat for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
20 minutes.
At the stop sign.
Yeah.
They were letting cars from the other direction come.
It's one lane, yeah. So,
We've all got places to go! We've all got places to go!
That was me. So I had to call my mom. She had to go get Chase from school. I was late, like, whole thing. I didn't understand why our side was not getting a turn.
Right.
I told you guys yesterday on my way into work, I had to do these breathing exercises because I come down Route 1, and for most of the stretch of Route 1, two cars were riding side by side at like 38 miles per hour. I was like, come on, you mother. Yeah. And the second I would start to like fill up with rage, I would like breathe in through my nose and out through my mouth. It worked a little bit, but I still...
To Kathy's situation, when you do pull up to a one-lane construction zone and they have the sign where they're stopping people, when you're the one that they stop and you're the head of the line, it really sucks.
I was
right there. Why couldn't you have let me go through?
And I didn't think 20. And I kept thinking, okay, well, don't turn around because it's going to be soon. It's going to be soon. And I'm not kidding.
20 minutes.
I'm not exaggerating. 20 minutes later. And listen, 20 minutes later, I turned around.
I didn't even
get a chance to go.
When they do it and they let one group of traffic through and then they stop that group down, they wave to the other guy. I think those people should be able to keep a beat so that they know just about how long everyone gets through, because sometimes in the opposing way they'll go for like forever, and then on your side where you're going through, it's severely mismatched. It drives me crazy.
You know what they're doing this week, Kathy, is that they have one lane closed because there are these large oversized vehicles that are coming down, getting off the school expressway off of Belmont. And they have to make a right and go underneath that railroad bridge. So they have to eliminate the one lane that you're able to turn in.
On Rock Hill?
No, on Belmont coming up the hill.
Oh, that's why Belmont
in anticipation
was doing
it.
Got
it.
Yeah, so it's these oversized vehicles. So there's two guys working the flag down there, and they're there all week for the rest of the week.
Well, that was backed up all the way to City F.
Yeah.
Belmont. So I was like, so I ended up turning around and having to like wrap back around and go through like kind of where Steve lives.
It's funny though, man, because there was a lady who tried to cheat yesterday and cut around everybody, and I was in a good mood. It did not suffer road rage. If it had been a different day at a different time, and I would have flipped my ass. And it was just yesterday, I just kind of looked at her and laughed. I was like, oh, what an a-hole. But it didn't bother me.
Right. It was a lovely day.
Yeah, maybe that had something to do with it.
Yeah.
However, none of us took
out
a gun.
You didn't pull your gun out,
Kat? No, none of us took a gun out.
Long story short.
So Lower Southampton police are putting an image of the vehicle with the shooter inside out to the public if anyone recognizes the vehicle. Or they're saying if you hear anybody talk about anything, sometimes when stuff like this happens,
yes,
people start to brag.
Guess who shot at a car today?
Yeah, so police are asking that you contact them. The victim said a woman was driving the car with a male passenger. Anyone with information regarding the incident is asked to contact the Lower Southampton Township Police Department.
And the car that was shot had a kid in it, right?
Oh, did it?
Yeah, I believe that's the case. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he had a kid in it.
A man from Canada faces charges in connection with a crash that killed a Lyft passenger and injured two others in Bucks County. Prosecutors say 48-year-old Shane Learn of Toronto was driving drunk when he struck a guardrail, then crossed the double yellow center line and crashed his pickup truck into a ride-sharing vehicle. The collision happened back on April 28th in Bensalem. The 57-year-old Lyft passenger was taken to Jefferson University Hospital, where he died the next day. His wife suffered serious injuries, and she remains in the hospital. The couple's Lyft driver suffered minor injuries. Police say Learn told officers in an interview that he had consumed two beers and a double Jameson shot prior to driving, according to the Bucks County District Attorney's Office. The affidavit quoted him as saying, "It was my fault. I crossed the line." Learn was charged with homicide by vehicle while driving under the influence, homicide by vehicle, and aggravated assault by vehicle while DUI. Bail was set at $300,000, 10% cash. Several customers of Skybox Event Center have been left in the dark and are looking for answers after the popular Fishtown wedding venue abruptly shut down.
What the f***?
Yeah, here we go again. It's like same story, you know, that always happens. So just 3 weeks before her May 19th wedding, Sarah Appleby learned that from Skybox Event Center's event coordinator that her wedding venue was closing.
She said, just sucks.
Yeah, she said she paid the initial deposit of $3,000 and then made another payment in April of $5,000. And she says they haven't heard anything back about their money and if it will be refunded.
You got to give the money back.
Right? Yeah. The Skybox Event Center's phone number is no longer in service, and the owner, Chris Voss, hasn't made any comment. Basically, he's not saying anything.
Now a falafel stand.
Oh. Yeah.
Nobody's answering. Yeah, he's gone completely radio silent.
He's gone.
Yeah.
A litany of zoning issues shuttered the once popular venue space. Officials said Skybox never had the proper zoning, just a special assembly license, and apparently that expired like 3 years ago.
Okay, so they've stayed up on everything.
The only people not angry about the shutdown are the residents. They argued that noise and parking have been ongoing issues. So, but you know what? It's like same story. You feel so bad for these people.
It's horrible.
That have planned their wedding there. Now what? This girl's wedding is in a month, and now she has no wedding venue. All right, in sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Aaron Nola struck out a career-high 12 batters in 7 innings. Odubel Herrera had 2 hits to extend his career best on base streak to 37 games, and the Phillies beat the San Francisco Giants 4-2 last night.
Yeah.
With the win, the Phils are now just a half game out of first place in the National League East. The 4-game series continues tonight. Nick Pivetta will get the start. Game time is at 7:05. The Sixers will look to avoid elimination again tonight when they travel to Boston to take on the Celtics at Game 5. Tip-off is set for 8 o'clock. In last night's NBA playoffs, both home teams closed out their series in 5 games. The Utah Jazz were eliminated by the Rockets in Houston, losing 112-102, and the Golden State Warriors eliminated the New Orleans Pelicans, winning 113-104. The Rockets and Warriors will play each other in the Western Conference Finals, and that series will begin on Monday. No games in the NHL playoffs last night, and there aren't any tonight either. The Winnipeg Jets and the Nashville Predators will face off for Game 7 of their second round series tomorrow night in Nashville, and the winner will advance to play the Vegas Golden Knights in the Conference Finals. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. Midweek, it's where we are Wednesday morning, so we have some stuff planned for you. Wednesdays mean secret text word, and we do have that. And we made the announcement yesterday of the Rock Allegiance show. And we're going to give away tickets to that show for the secret text word today. And if you missed that announcement, well, it's going to be at BB&T Pavilion, Wiggins Waterfront Park as well. One day, 3 stages. Avenged Sevenfold, Limp Bizkit, Papa Roach, Skillet, Gwar, Insane Clown Posse, Fozzie, and many more still added on to that show.
I was asked a lot about this lineup yesterday. A lot of people are very excited about the Gwar Insane Clown Posse pairing.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, man. It's going to be a crazy show. So we have your chance to win tickets. By the way, the on sale, the official on sale is Friday at noon via Ticketmaster.com. I think we have the pre-sale starting today.
Today, right?
On MMRWMMR.com. So anyhow, you want to win these tickets,
yep,
go to text word secret to 39333. Going to bounce a word back to you later on today. We'll ask you to call in with that word, and we'll grab a random text or two. So even if you can't stick around, you should go ahead and try it because you just might win. Speaking of texting, that continues. Birthday Bucks, a chance to win $1,000. A simple text could do that. We'll give you the word and the number coming up at 8 a.m., and this is the final week for that, so get set. We have today and two more days after, five times each day, your chance to win. Don't miss your opportunity to do that. We have an announcement this morning. We'll get to that around 9 o'clock, which is cool, and that's all I'm going to say on that right now. And as far as guests go, we have Mark Zumoff checking in. Mark Zumoff,
yes,
is in Boston getting ready for, you know, the Sixers actually trying to create history. If they come back,
yeah,
it'd be the first time ever in NBA history.
I mean, with the rest of the games going on, I mean, all the other series have been closed out. So, you know,
it'll be interesting.
It'll be interesting to see how this one goes.
Who anticipated them getting this far? And then the fact that they're at this point where they have this opportunity is just amazing.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to Mark a little bit after 8 o'clock. We will have our buddy Jackson from Afternoons,
yes,
on MMR here to speak about Mother's Day, which is coming up. So Jackson will be popping in for a rare morning appearance, which is cool for him to swing in. And we'll go live on Fox Good Day today. So we have those things and more and a lot of stuff to give away. We got a sorority party coming up. We have a screening of Deadpool 2. That's Thursday.
That's tomorrow. Tomorrow at 4, right? 4:30.
Yeah. I should give away some tickets right now.
Do it.
Okay.
Three callers, 215-263-WMMR. It will be tomorrow at 4:30. You need to be there by 4, and this is at the Ritz in the city.
Ritz East.
The Ritz East. Thank you very much. So let's take three callers, 215-26. No. Let's take five callers.
Whoa.
Oh!
Yeah, I did that. See what I did there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
215-263-WMMR. We'll put you on that list. The movie doesn't open until next Friday. We've got this way in advance. Deadpool 2. Everyone looking forward to seeing this movie. Let's get you in the theater. So call right now. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. Stupid question, entertainment news. That's on the way.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
This Mother's Day, brighten Mom's Day with a Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa gift card. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, including the Lehigh Valley.
Celebrate all the sweet loves in your life with Stephen's brand new Sweet Love 24 karat gold dip rose for just $59. It's a beautiful lavender rose that reminds your sweet love just how much they mean to you. Don't miss out. Get yours now at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So we're going to do a stupid question this morning. Going to give away a pair of tickets to Brewfest, and that's coming up in Mount Hope on May 12th. And the question that I have for you, we're going to do a little classical music question. Why should you do classical composer?
All right.
The all-time great. What heavy metal found in a lock of Beethoven's hair is thought to have contributed to his ill health and his early death?
What heavy metal found in a lock of Beethoven's hair could have led to his early death?
215-263-WMMR. Call right now. Let's see if you know the answer. Once again, what heavy metal? No, Casey.
Damn it!
Incorrect.
He wrote down
an answer. It is incorrect. What heavy metal found in a lock of Beethoven's hair is thought to have contributed to his ill health and early death?
See, that hair stuff will kill you.
No, it's not vibranium.
Damn it!
That's a good guess, though.
Yeah.
All right. So, birthdays today on Wednesday, May 9th include Dave Gahan of Depeche Mode, lead singer of Depeche Mode. And he is 56 years old, and they are touring.
Yes, they're going to be at the Wells Fargo.
Yeah, yeah. And
which is amazing at this point in Depeche Mode's career.
Yeah.
And they were huge when I first got to WDRE in New York. In 1991, 92, they were huge.
Yeah.
But I've seen them. I know you've seen them in concert. Great concert.
Very surprised how energetic David Gahan was.
But they're still going.
Yeah. I saw them at Austin City Limits, and they were one of the headliners, like the final acts to play.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was Friday night or Saturday night, but like, you know, on one stage they had Muse, and then the other stage they had Depeche Mode, and then the next night it was one stage was Kings of Leon, the other one was The Cure. So So, like, I always put Depeche Mode and The Cure kind of like
they're in that same realm. Same time frame.
But way more successful than The Cure. I remember watching their Behind the Music. At one point, they sold out the Rose Bowl.
It's pretty amazing.
That's upwards of 100,000 people.
Wow. Yeah.
From what I understand. I remember seeing something about that. So they definitely have a huge audience. So he's 56 today. Speaking of a huge audience and being able to sell out venues like that, Billy Joel also celebrates his birthday today.
Does he still do that residency in Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he's had the most sellouts, or he's played the Garden more than any other artist. I think he might hold both of those records, but yeah.
What's the arrangement, Nick, with that?
I think it's once a month, right?
Once a month.
I don't know the exact details, but yeah, every time he does it, it sells out. But I was on a Billy Joel kick with my son this weekend and introduced him to some of the songs, and I brought this one up, and I asked him if he'd ever heard it, and he said he thought he had in a movie. So we played the video. It's an interesting look back at a different time when you watch the Piano Man video. Just do yourself a favor today if you got 4.5 minutes.
The one with the guy, the bartender's like,
it's that guy.
Yeah, and there's all these characters are depicted in the song.
Yeah, and there's the owner of the restaurant, and he is just completely ogling some ladies' boobs and two ladies' boobs at the bar. It's fun. It's a fun glimpse back into the 80s.
Nice. The great Billy Joel, 69 years old today, and we have other birthdays. So let me get John Corbett, who was in Sex and the City and My Big Fat Greek Wedding and Northern Exposure, one of my all-time favorite television shows. And he was a DJ, played Chris in the Morning on that show.
Yes, yeah, that's right. It's a good show.
57 today. Albert Finney.
Yes.
From movies like Aaron Brockovich and Traffic and Big Fish and Annie. Yep.
He's actually a really good Daddy Warbucks.
He's 82. Rosario Dawson.
Oh, yeah.
She's great, man.
Unbelievable.
Sin City, Rent, Daredevil on that show.
All those Marvel shows she ends up appearing on. She's Night Nurse.
She's really good in the movie 7 Pounds as well. She's 39 today.
Is she still with the comedian? I forget the guy's name.
Oh, Harry Dean Stanton.
Eric Andre.
Oh. I thought you meant the comedian from The Watchmen.
No. She's with the... Eric Andre, I think, is the comedian she's dating now.
Her and Negan?
Yeah. Her and Negan, together? Yeah.
Wow.
No wonder he's wobbly.
So Rosario is 39. Candace Bergen has her birthday, and Murphy Brown coming back.
Do we know when that debuts?
I don't know offhand.
Or re-debuts?
It is coming out, but I don't know the date offhand, Steve. A lot of great movies as well. Miss Congeniality, Sweet Home Alabama, View from the Top. I think that's a cute movie.
View from the Top is really good. One of my all-time favorite movies is The Wind and the Lion. She's in that with Sean Connery playing a sheik or a sultan or something.
Okay.
I think I'll check out the new Murphy Brown.
Will you?
I think
so. Were you a fan of the old one?
I did. I liked it, but after the fact, you know, like I got into it later.
She is 72 today.
Yes, I mean, so the trend right now is to bring all these shows back.
Yeah.
What if they brought back Three's Company, but used John Ritter's son?
Maybe. I mean, it's not going to have the same impact as what they're doing with the original.
Especially scandalous sex comedy now would have no impact whatsoever. Well, unless it was 22 minutes of fisting, there'd be nothing.
What if the scandal was he and Suzanne Somers had a sexual relationship?
Well, pitch
and
it.
They were living
at her current age?
Yes, at her current age.
And it, maybe.
Who wouldn't want to see that?
It wouldn't work because Chrissy and Janet's faces don't move. So you wouldn't see any emotion.
So Candace is 72 today. And the last birthday, it says Audrina Partridge, TV star.
Yes, you know her legendary TV. She's from The Hills.
Okay.
From that MTV realm.
She's 33 today.
Bob. Super talented.
All right, I am looking for the answer to this stupid question. What heavy metal found in a lock of Beethoven's hair is thought to have contributed to his ill health and early death? To the phones we go. I'm going to go to James. Hi, James. Good morning.
Morning.
James, do you know the answer? Do you know what heavy metal we're talking about that was found in a lock of Beethoven's hair?
That would be lead.
Lead is absolutely correct, sir. Hang on just a second. We'll get your information, James.
Did he wash his hair with lead?
He must have done that.
Yeah.
Lead shoulders.
Lead shoulders.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, so we are going to give him a pair of tickets to Brewfest, Pierre's, PA's premiere at Craft Beer Festival, and Pierre may love it.
He probably adores it.
At Mount Hope on May 12th with more than 50 breweries, food vendors, and live music. Brewfest details and tickets at PARenfair.com. All right, I have lots of stuff to get
Let's go.
Let's begin with Scarlett Johansson. She is standing by her decision to wear the controversial designer Marchesa's dress to the Met Gala on Monday night. It's her statement.
That's it.
She said, I wore Marchesa because their clothes make women feel confident and beautiful, and it is my pleasure to support a brand created by two incredibly talented and important female designers. The design she wore was a burgundy off-the-shoulder gown.
She looked lovely.
With a tulle skirt. Is that right?
Tulle.
Or T-U-L-L-A? What the hell does that mean?
It's the fabric.
Okay. Means you want to pull your tulle out when you see her in it.
Marchesa responded, we are truly honored that Scarlett chose to wear Marchesa for the Met Gala. She's an amazingly talented actor who has incredible style and presence. It was wonderful to work so closely with her in creating this custom look. Now, Marchesa was co-founded by Georgina Chapman.
Yeah.
The ex-wife of Harvey Weinstein. Many considered Chapman Weinstein's enabler, with critics claiming that she must have realized he was harassing women while they were married. But she left him right after this stuff became public.
Yeah,
so.
You can't do that.
Shut up. There's nothing to indicate that that is the case.
Yeah.
I don't know why she's vilified. Unless somebody's aware of something that I haven't seen, and you know, Preston, we're the conduit of all entertainment information.
And now it's just guilty by association.
And I don't, because you're right. The second it broke, she dumped him.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, it's not like a case where, okay, maybe he does something on the side or whatever, or, you know, a wife forgiving their husband the occasional fling. I can't imagine she had an idea all that crap was going on.
Well, in the aftermath of the accusation, several stories emerged of Weinstein bullying actresses featured in his movies into wearing his wife's designs to the high-profile Hollywood events. So
okay.
They kind of see that. But that's Harvey being that's it, Harvey, douchebag Harvey Weinstein.
Not necessarily her.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Stars aren't being paid quite as much as they were a decade ago, according to a report in Variety. In the early aughts, household names like Julia Roberts, Will Smith, Tom Hanks, Jim Carrey routinely banked $20 million or more for every film they led, in addition to commanding profit participation at the box office.
Yes.
These days, A-listers are commanding less, in part because superhero and Star Wars-esque franchises are drawing droves at the box offices as opposed to the stars themselves.
Yeah, it's the vehicle they're in as opposed to the star driving it.
There are some exceptions. Stars like Dwayne Johnson, Vin Diesel, and Robert Downey Jr.
It's about family.
Can still bring in $20 million or more for a big movie, but many are tied to box office performance.
You know what, Preston, they say we inherit the sins of our fathers.
Of your whose?
Of our fathers.
Your fathers. Yeah. Okay, well, good for you.
That's what they say. I didn't say it.
Some in-demand celebs even make sure that any promotional work that they sign on for is paid for. The Rock, for example, and this makes sense, has some pretty serious stipulations built into his contract per Variety. So for Red Notice, Johnson brought in about $22 million, $1 million of which he demanded to promote the film via social.
Red Notice?
So Variety wrote, yeah, I don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
Variety wrote, want access to Johnson's 104 million Instagram followers? It's going to cost you. The Rampage star is asking for a $1 million social media fee as part of his package for the upcoming Red Notice, and that includes promoting the film on the likes of Twitter and Facebook.
Okay,
and
so
it makes sense because they have this vehicle. They have this army of people.
And it's an advertising method to do that. And a lot of these stars now, the movie companies are allowing them to put out tip jars. So that I think that's kind of cool.
But think about that. $1 million.
I know.
Over the stretch of, what, a couple of months?
Yes.
Maybe posting something every other day.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, dude.
But still, so if he's Dwayne Johnson, the people that are also producing and can get behind and create their own vehicles seem to be the ones doing the best because, you know, Vin Diesel has the Fast and the Furious franchise.
I follow Chris Hemsworth on Instagram, and he was posting stuff from the red carpet for Infinity War. And I was such a nerd about it.
Like,
oh, my God, it's behind the scenes. And, you know, and it was just his assistant following. It was live Instagram story.
They're not actually even doing
even doing anything. Yeah. But I found myself completely sucked into it, and it made me anticipate the movie that much more.
Other artists
He's an influencer.
like Leonardo DiCaprio, choose to juggle their big paydays. Like he made $20 million for Inception, but he switched with an artier option, half of that, for Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I mean, there's definitely been a pivot lately as far, but... Like you know, like people have like the jailbroken Amazon Fire Stick.
Yes, yeah,
people
yeah.
are using these other services.
So it allows them to get movies that are currently in the theater, and they can get. It's basically like
it's stealing.
It's a piracy thing. Yeah,
it's totally stealing. But you know, it was kind of like you know what LimeWire and Napster were to music. And I has the music industry recovered, you know, with like through Apple Music and some of these other services?
Just a regular basic available technology has changed. But also, he said what the main reason for this is, you have the superhero stuff. It's the subject. It's the content as opposed to, well, they used to say, well, this guy can open up a movie.
Yeah.
You know, this guy can, it doesn't matter. Put him in the movie, people are going to go see it.
Yeah, but movies are so expensive these days that, like, all right, so the movie theater experience to me isn't worth it for art house things. Do you know what I mean?
Like, and a lot of people feel that way. Yeah. Because now you can have a comparable theater experience at home, you know?
Yep. So they're making a little bit less these days.
Scraping by.
Khloe Kardashian is not feeling her post pregnancy body.
Still feel it. I feel like my revenge body's falling apart.
It's been like a minute.
Yep. What did you say?
Well, man, I follow some sports things on Twitter.
I can't see my six pack.
There was a total sports something.
What are
or
you talking about?
They posted something on Twitter yesterday about you, Khloe, that pissed me off.
What did they say?
It's not like
did
I
you stick up for me?
I did.
I knew you'd have my back.
They posted about how she just had a baby, and then what did she have a baby out of her butt because her butt looked big? I'm like, dude, that's like
kind
that's
of funny though.
What did they say?
It's not
you talking
cool,
about
though.
My ass.
Yeah.
Kathy, pet her. She's right next to you.
Come here, honey.
Calm her down.
Come here.
Stroke her.
I'm scared.
Wait a minute, but listen, Casey, she's not. It's not just them. I have a quote from her that
okay,
might.
All right, I want to hear the quote.
All right,
what did I say?
The revenge body star gave birth to her first daughter, Trill. Less than a month ago, but after she saw a picture that paparazzi snapped of her walking in a Cleveland park, she began fretting over the state of her booty.
Yeah.
So she herself.
Yeah.
I am fretting over the state of my
She shared
booty.
Via her blog, I couldn't believe how big my booty looked. I can't wait to tone it up again and get my body back to where it was.
I could tell something was up, though, because it takes me a half hour to wipe my ass.
She added that she's gearing up to sweat it out right now. She wrote, I'm super excited because my doctor finally cleared me this week to work out.
She just had a baby!
And I'm going to meet with Coach Joe.
Coach Joe?
Literally been counting down the days.
Joe Paterno? He's dead.
Joe Pa?
Oh, I have some bad news for you, Khloe. He passed away.
But she spoke out frequently while she was pregnant about her plans to whip into shape post baby.
Can she have 7 minutes before she has to start doing crunches?
It's a month, like it's okay.
Give it a break.
You're cool.
That's the actual picture that I'd seen, the one that she's talking about, and like you know, I feel bad for her.
Well, she was saying it, you know.
Yeah. Well, she said because somebody took the picture and then posted it social media.
I don't know.
I can't believe I'm coming to her defense.
Well, the demands are so, I guess, extraordinary to look your absolute best.
Yeah.
That's the pressure she's feeling.
I don't think you need to waste energy being concerned about it, Kay.
I guess you're right.
Though I love you for caring.
She said,
I really love you.
I'm actually proud of myself for not being as big as I assumed I would be. LOL. But I'm ready to start getting my body back and feeling mentally clear again. Bring
my
on
body.
She had to bring on summer and the hard work. I got this.
That ass is fine.
Is this the picture case?
It was actually a little bit further away.
But that's okay.
Yeah,
big butt.
That's a big butt, but I mean,
don't they all want the big asses?
Yeah, but
isn't that how her sister made a fortune off of her big plowable ass?
But it's been a month.
Mm-hmm. Big plowable ass.
You remember that? Did you ever see the Ray J porn video?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good. The end is purple.
Good. Very pretty. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. On to other things. Woody Harrelson opened up about the special place that marijuana has in his life and what promoted him to revisit his beloved weed after quitting it for 2 years. Appearing on the Ellen DeGeneres Show on Tuesday, he said, "I quit for almost 2 years. No smoking, no vaping. Every once in a while, you're going to have something edible. Let's be real. I'm not a nun," he said. But then he ran into his good buddy, Willie Nelson.
Uh-oh.
And talking, speaking of this, he said, "He was never comfortable with me quitting. It just bothered him," he said. "I would always say, Willie, you know I'm not smoking." And he would always do the same thing, like he was hearing it for the first time, saying, "Oh, really? I'm sorry." And he said this happened like 500 times. And then after winning a game of poker against Nelson, he finally caved in. He said, "I was in a celebratory mood." And he hands me that pen, and I was just, I snatched it, and I was like, ah, F it. And so I take a big draw off of it, and then he says, "Welcome home, son."
Oh, my God. Willie Nelson.
Oh, man.
Honestly, if you're trying to stay off pot, Willie Nelson is the wrong guy to hang around.
He wants you to dive on
it.
I
guess, and Doug Benson was heading over to the house.
Now, Ellen, meanwhile, said she personally hated weed. She said, "I don't smoke," eliciting a skeptical okay from Woody. But she said, "No, I don't. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I don't understand. I don't know how people function on it. I would be in a corner rocking. That's what would happen to me if I had did it in any form." So
I think that'd be me.
She's not into it. By the way, Harrison has he has served as an advisory on the advisory board for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
Normal. Yeah.
Shortly after it was legalized in 2016, he applied to open a medical marijuana dispensary in Hawaii, but he didn't get the permit.
Preston, years ago, when I was in college, you would always have these normal rallies, you know, when they were, and the guys would all, they'd all look the same, but they'd be coming in, they'd have stacks of legal information when they were fighting the good fight, as they would call it. But normal always had a tremendous presence on campus.
Yeah, but look, it worked.
It worked.
It's the part of the reason why. It's now legal in a lot of states, and, of course, medical marijuana, legal right here in Pennsylvania. After being charged with issuing a false bomb threat, T.J. Miller is being permitted to travel internationally while out on bond.
How high is that bond? Did they mention it's like a couple hundred thousand?
Doesn't say on here. Yeah. One of the conditions of Miller's release stated that Miller could only travel domestically unless a judge ruled otherwise. On Tuesday, an updated ruling was issued and said because defendant is a public figure, the court concludes that disclosure of his specific flight plans would amount to an undue intrusion on his privacy. Accordingly, sealing of defendant's proposed travel itinerary serves a compelling reason and is narrowly tailored to serve this reason.
Hey, I missed what happened. Did he do his show at Helium?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Did he? Yeah.
I thought he didn't.
Okay.
Well, no, can you check?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I had never heard that they were canceled or anything like that. And I because mean, he supposed to be
they,
in here.
They obviously didn't do the interview with us.
Yeah, it was the same week that this news broke, so they canceled the interview. But I didn't know if he actually did the shows or not.
Maybe you're right, Casey. You would know better than I. For some reason, I thought they were canceled.
Well, he canceled his interview with us.
Okay.
And I had maintained a very, very close eye on the Helium website because, you know, at some point they're going to have to say, show's canceled.
Right.
They either book another comedian last second, and they had never done that.
Wow.
All the way up until Friday morning. So
okay.
Unless they had done something after we got done our show on Friday afternoon or whatever.
He's a really candid person. So if he did do the shows, I wonder if he interacted with the audience at all.
And I also wonder if maybe he was so bombed that he actually thought that somebody had a bomb on them. And
well, that's for the court to decide.
Right.
Yeah.
And while also, Ian, can you get in a lot of trouble if you call in a quote-unquote false bomb threat if you did indeed think that there was a bomb? Do you know what I mean? Like,
that would be for the court.
Yeah.
I mean, if you earnestly believe someone had a bomb, they would probably, it would probably be extenuating circumstances.
Yeah. People are texting in that he was there.
Wow.
Yeah, so he did. This person says he did. I went. He used me in a bit. I went. It was so funny.
I wonder if he's going to go and do any promotion for Deadpool then.
Well, that's a good question. Right? Maybe staying away from stuff like that. He is not. He is allowed to travel if he wants to. Jane Fonda had a revealing chat about her sexual status or lack thereof with Extra. She said, "I'm 80 and I've closed up shop down there."
Oh my God!
That's actually a funny line.
And that's Casey's rule, though.
Yeah,
remember, 80.
Yeah. I've closed up shop.
Yeah. Fonda is currently promoting the new film Book Club, which also stars Diane Keaton, Mary Steenburgen, and Candace Bergen.
Another Marvel movie.
As they experience a sexual reawakening after reading 50 Shades of Grey.
Ooh.
So
things start to get jostled down there.
It's interesting. that's the noise
long
it makes
now. Fart, yeah.
Okay.
I think some air just passed through it.
Nikki Bella is opening up about her heartbreak after her split from her fiance John Cena 3 days after their would-be wedding day passed. She's staying, it says, staying at Breeze because you all know why. This is a video post.
Breeze, her sister, I believe.
Tuesday, according to people referring to her twin sister's home.
Yeah.
She said, I just wanted to say hi to you guys.
Hi!
I know I've been MIA and I've kind of been hiding out, but I wanted to reach out to all of you and thank you all for your love and support.
It's kind of weird. She had this very, very, very public proposal. It was in the ring at a WWE event, and they were going great guns. And then, but the word came that John Cena had presented her with like a 56-page agreement that she had to sign before they moved ahead.
She said, can't tell you how much it meant to me, especially through all the really difficult time. And, of course, she called off the engagement to Cena 3 weeks before they were to marry.
She wants kids. He does not want them.
Speaking of marriage, Jada Pinkett Smith wishes that she could go back and do things differently. On her new Facebook talk show called Red Table Talk, she brought on Will Smith's ex-wife, Cherie Fletcher.
Oh, geez.
Well, they're apparently friends.
To discuss the tough times they faced together as they struggled to become a blended family.
Well, that had been a long time ago, no?
Yes.
Yeah, it was. Pinkett Smith had, she cops to dating Will when he was still married to Fletcher. And she said, because I did not understand marriage, I did not understand divorce, I probably should have fell back. She admits in the clip, and then Fletcher jokingly replies, you think? despite the inauspicious beginning, Pinkett Smith and Smith have been married for 20 years. And yeah, they her and Cherie are, I guess, you know, they have a relationship there.
They do.
Yeah.
I think, though, honestly, if you're having questions, guys, about the woman that you're dating, go to your wife. Ask for her advice.
Yeah, probably. She knows you better
than
anyone.
She knows you better.
Does he have a son from that relationship?
He does.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Yeah. So that's part of why they're all still in each other's lives. You know what I mean?
Sure. And after so many years, I mean, you'd hope that you'd get to that point.
Well, she gets actually emotional. Cherie, I guess her name is, you said, Preston?
Yeah.
Because of the way Jada treats and cares for the son that she had with Will Smith.
Oh, okay.
She's apparently wonderful to him.
Yeah, you hope that it gets to that, Kathy.
Yeah.
You're right. If you remember, I know you hated the movie Boyhood, but towards the end of that movie, the ex-couple finally have...
They've made peace.
They've come to an understanding
if
with
you
each
want
other.
That
I was
same
so
resolution.
Enraged, I didn't really
you
pay
hated
attention
that movie
to
that. So much,
if you want that same resolution, but along the same line, it has a little bit more going on, Transformers. There's more than meets
That's
the
more
eye.
Your speed.
Yeah,
more than meets the eye. Sorry, I'm wheezing.
You sound like Darth Vader at the end of Return of the Jedi.
I know. I'm struggling.
Take my helmet off.
Hey, I'm your daddy.
Holy Jesus.
Put it back
I'm
going
to put it back on. That was what, I won't go off on a tangent there. About that resolution. I was not happy to see.
No, this has nothing to do.
No, I'm sorry, but it needs to be said.
Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen.
Filed court papers on Monday accusing an anonymous ex of being an extortionist. And, quote, a professional hooker party girl.
Oh,
professional hooker party girl.
The woman accused Sheen of not disclosing his HIV status prior to their sexual relationship, but Sheen is claiming he...
Why would I reveal it to a professional hooker party girl? He tries to dance around that, but I believe that he was having sex and not letting people know that he was HIV positive.
Well, he's claiming that he not only disclosed his status, but that she signed a non-disclosure agreement, which required that she keep her sexual relationship secret and require her to settle legal conflicts via arbitration.
Mm. Okay.
I missed the insanity of Charlie Sheen. It was so funny.
Do you remember? How many years ago was he on the Torpedo of Truth tour?
It was a long
time. Do you remember that?
Time ago. Long time ago.
4 years?
It was one of the really
longer
worldwide, would you call it a meltdown? Because he seemed to be controlling it.
I think it was it looked like a meltdown. And remember those clips of those quote-unquote shows?
Right, yeah.
There was no direction. They had no idea what they were doing.
He had Jeff Ross on one of them, remember? And Jeff Ross told us about what it was like.
Yeah.
That there was no rhyme or reason, and that he actually, there was a chair on stage, and he came out and sat there and talked to the audience.
Yeah, it was 7 years ago. We had back-to-back
it was a long time
meltdowns
ago.
With Mel Gibson and Charlie Sheen, and they just were both so entertaining.
Yeah.
They should go on tour together.
They should, or do a movie or something like that. Rock Allegiance. Oh, that'd be awesome. Let me see here. Charlize Theron is busting out the peroxide in her Burberry trench coat. She said on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, asked how she feels about Chris Hemsworth's suggestion that she play James Bond. She said, that's cool, but there's nothing like that in the works. We are definitely, though, developing an Atomic Blonde 2.
Did you see it?
Going for that. No.
It's good. It's not great. It's but the thing is that they act as if there haven't been. There's been a whole bunch of badass women movies.
Yeah, I just kind of had a hard time sort of following it. You know what I mean?
It's a little convoluted.
Yeah.
She's good.
Yeah.
You know, but there's been a ton of movies now where you have the, killing machine, super agent, super Bond-esque woman taking charge.
What are people complaining that there's not enough?
Well, apparently that's the thing. We need more. There's a whole bunch.
All right. And then one last thing. According to the last trailer that dropped, Meryl Streep is going to die at some point during Mamma Mia 2.
What?
Oh, no.
Yeah. The latest trailer is more upbeat, but to be determined if Streep will live to sing another day.
Dies in a gurning accident, Preston.
The gurning.
Yeah.
She's trying to make a funny face.
She makes
face.
A face and suffocates.
She gets lockjaw. Yeah.
Her lower lip breathes.
Oh, my God.
Meryl Streep dies. Pull her lip down!
She dies.
Why did you ever enter this gurning contest?
In a tragic gurning accident.
I didn't even know that was possible.
For those who don't know, gurning is like you'll see people take their false teeth out and put in their bottom lip, pop it way up. That's making that face. That's called gurning.
Think of bitter beer face.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So this movie features. Excuse me. It features pregnant Sophie, Amanda Seyfried, mulling life lessons from Mama Donna. That's Streep. And Rosie, who is Julie Walters, and Tanya, who is Christine Baranski, jump in to tell her stories from Donna's pregnancies.
Did you see the movie, the first one?
Nope.
It's okay. I'll tell you what it is good for, though. The scenery, wherever the hell they are, is effing
Malta?
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Is it Malta?
You really can watch the movie on mute.
Yeah, you can, but you agree, right? Nice. It's just breathtaking.
It really is.
But I like ABBA, I don't necessarily need to hear other people singing ABBA.
Well, they do perform Gurning Queen at the end.
Gurning Queen.
Wait, is it Malta?
I don't know.
That's what they're saying.
Lily James, Pierce Brosnan, Stellan Skarsgård, Colin Firth also appear, as does Cher via a helicopter.
I'm up in a helicopter, man.
I don't know.
I'm flying over Malta.
I guess it's Greek. Somewhere in Greece.
It's somewhere in Greece.
Look what I can do with my lower lip, man.
Sad scene. She is the gurning queen.
I'm a gurning queen.
The movie will land in theaters July 20th. Oh, my God. It's like 10 after 7.
I know,
we got to do the clips, man. We were supposed to be done 20 minutes ago. Recently on Riverdale, the show had its first musical episode with the students recreating Stephen King's Carrie on stage.
I saw it.
In this clip, Lily Reinhart talks about her experience filming the episode.
I hadn't heard of Carrie the Musical when I found out that's what we were doing. So it was kind of exciting to like, but also a little intimidating to learn, because I was a musical theater fan right off the bat, but to learn kind of a brand new musical was a little scary, but it was actually quite easy to learn, and it was fun. It was a fun experience.
Yeah! Riverdale airs tonight, 8 o'clock on the CW. Let's do the next clip, please.
Are you still watching that, by the way, Kathy?
I am not, no.
All right.
Family tensions are on the rise in The Originals, a supernatural TV series. Here, Joseph Morgan talks about the eventual end of the final season.
The final season of The Originals is kind of heartbreaking, I think, because I'll tell you this, the family doesn't all sail off together into the sunset. That would be the only way it could end on a happy note, I think. But there is hope there, definitely, and some sort of peace, I think, for everyone.
New episode airs tonight, CW at 9, by the way. That's it. So to have for you, entertainment-wise, we got a break right now because I want to make sure we have an opportunity for you to win $1,000. I want to get that on time, MMR's birthday bucks. We're getting close to wrapping that up, so don't miss out. We're going to take a break and be right back. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live. When you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
From
thank
all
you.
Of us to all of you, Kathy.
Thank you. Excellent. Appreciate that.
We're going to go live on Fox Good Day in a little while, so we'll see what those guys want to chat about. But in the meantime, I wouldn't mind chatting about this. Nick had actually brought this up. The other day, there was a statement released from Senator John McCain, who has brain cancer, and he's not doing well. So he's starting to make his final plan.
Yes, he is.
Which is a pretty wild thing. Sad. I know. And that anybody who has to really, really consider that and have to sit down and say,
scary.
This is how I would like to have this done. You know what I mean?
He's clear of mind.
Yes.
He's mobile, yeah. But he knows that time is very short at this point.
Right. So he's starting to make plans. And one of the more salacious things that's come out is he doesn't want Donald Trump there. They've never got along. And he's like, assuming that he would have the honor of having a president be there, he's saying, you know what, no.
Right. He's asked Pence. Yeah.
He wants Pence to represent the White House, but he said, Donald, no. So that led, and a good question to Nick, if you were able to make your own plans, I would think of not only if you had an idea of who can't be there, but wouldn't you send out invitations or requests and say, like, you know, hey, Robert Downey Jr. I know we don't know each other, but you're cordially invited to my funeral if you'd like to be
there. I guarantee you they get requests like that all the time.
You think so?
Absolutely, that people would ask, you know, listen, why not? What do you have to lose? I'm going to be so embarrassed if he says no. Oh, and I'm dying.
Right, right.
The only thing I've ever said about my funeral is I want people like falling over, crying, so upset that I'm gone.
You want a real Italian funeral,
oh my,
right?
That is the worst thing that has ever happened. I'm now.
And your mother or whoever, all of them like, send it here.
I have a running list of songs that I would like played at my funeral. Ah. And I was inspired by my grandfather who passed away, I think in like 2000 or something like that. And when he died, my mom and we played a whole bunch of music from his life at his funeral. Which
oh, my God. Yes.
This better be on there.
Oh, man, I watched that one.
Nick's favorite party song.
Finally, he has the appropriate song for the appropriate, not a frat party, a funeral.
You know what? Got Tonight from Bob Seger.
Ironically, this is not on the list, and it absolutely should be.
Yeah.
But no, my mom, one of my mom's favorite songs of all time is Sultan's a Swing by Dire Straits. Yeah. And she was like, I'd love to have this song at my funeral. So, you know, things like that, but.
Oh, yes.
There we go. I can pretty much
die
tomorrow.
We're planning your funeral now.
Yeah, that's fine.
My mother tasked me with that, and she gave me her list.
What, of music?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And she wants, I have to put it together. So,
oh,
she,
man.
Because, that's kind of horrible, too.
Yeah.
Like, McCain wants nothing but Pearl Jam.
Really?
Yeah, no.
Wow.
No.
To be honest, I really haven't even looked at it. She gave it to me.
You don't want to look at it, right?
It's a bit final, you know, so, but I will.
Are you sure that you might want to be like, are you sure you want this song on here? This
you know
is
what?
Really a terrible song.
I should take a look at it because knowing my mom, there's definitely some Bon Jovi on there. There might even be some AC/DC. I told you the story. We were in the car one time, and and I was talking to her, and I had turned the radio down a little bit because for those about to rock from AC/DC had come on, and my mom's old hand just reaches over and turns it back up. And she's like, this is a good thing.
You better pull that hand back or you'll be drawing a stump.
God, I love you, Mom. That was awesome.
Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, who would you put an invitation out to? If you were just
anyone who wants to come,
if you were, but I mean, a celebrity, somebody. If you were,
a celebrity,
for the moon, who would be awesome to have?
John Belaris.
Oh no,
he would definitely make a scene.
I think
at
so.
My radio buddy.
He'd cry.
No, I listen. You know, I have not thought about that. I mean, it's obviously. So there's going to be, for McCain, there's going to be loads international dignitaries and heads of state will be attending, we assume.
Yeah.
Who would I want? Who'd be really cool? I don't know.
I mean, like, if you're really going to shoot the works, I'd go for like a Paul McCartney and why not?
I don't know.
Alex Holly from Fox 28. We're going to talk to her in just a little bit.
Will you go to my funeral?
Come on, goddammit.
But I think it would have to be somebody that, you did meet Paul McCartney, but somebody that you met and maybe would remember you. Well, you know what I mean?
But you also have to think about who's... All right, so if you're looking at a number of years, Paul looking at less, you have to think about who is going to be around, not unless you get hit by a bus.
No, I mean, all of a sudden you've got a terminal disease, and you find out, time is short, I need to make my plans now.
I would go with someone younger. Like, I'd look at the Disney Channel who's likely to be around. Yeah. Hopefully, if I get my my couple extra decades.
Ooh, the girl from that Zombies movie.
Yes.
Why not?
Yeah, but I didn't watch that, so I don't know who you're talking about. Let's just really say cute. Dove Cameron.
Let's go with her. Descendants.
I like it, her.
You are invited.
I want the Kardashians to be there just so it would be like a big spectacle and someone would be like, why the hell were the Kardashians at Kathy Romano's funeral?
Which Kardashian do you think would be most inclined to come just because of the kitschy nature of it? I think Kim would.
I mean,
Kathy.
I've got a big butt. They have big butts. I think they would come.
Yep. You know?
It's great to be here with one of our sisters.
The same
not in blood, but in butt.
Yes.
Blood sisters.
It's like scissor sisters.
Oh, my God.
You slide in backwards.
Wow.
You slide in backwards.
The butt. I haven't heard this in ages, man.
This will just be on a loop.
Yep. Yeah, playing. This would be the music.
Let me ask you, who definitely do you not want there?
Do you not want somebody that...
Donald Trump.
We'll have both selections, yeah.
Kathy, I'm with you. Would it be somebody from your personal, that you've experienced through the... I can't think of anybody that I would... Well, Burnt Rubber Girl's not invited, that's for sure. Stinking up the place with a vagina.
We don't want to smell her anyway.
Yeah. We need a racetrack.
I can't think of anybody.
That would be
considered toxic. I mean, because what some people, you know, you hear of these clashes at funerals that happen, ex-wives and ex-girlfriends, and all of a sudden they make a scene and it turns into something it's not supposed to be.
I definitely don't want my ex-wife there.
You don't have an ex-wife.
There you go.
Okay, makes it easy. That's going to be all right.
My ex-wife won't go to your
funeral. Yeah, there you go. Dick is the only one with an ex-wife. She won't go to your funeral.
Hey,
make sure that happens.
Who do you think the last one of us dies?
What?
Somebody here is going to have to watch all of us die.
Wow. That's morbid.
Well, do you mean watch us actually be in the room as we're all euthanized? Or
we're
going to survive us all?
Yeah,
it'll be Marissa.
Well,
I mean,
she's the youngest.
Not just because she's the youngest, but she sees everything.
But she probably drinks the most, so I don't know.
I'm thinking it's
I would love it
be...
if I survive you all just because I'm the oldest. It'd be like, wow.
Well, Steve, do you remember that bit of Saturday Night Live bit of John Belushi? when it's him in the future.
Yes, yes.
He's the last one alive.
And no one thought.
And he actually dances on their graves in the band. He's like, oh, look there, Jane Curtin. And he starts dancing on them. And he's the first one that died.
It was a short film.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody texted in somebody that they would want at their funeral, and I agree with this wholeheartedly. Bert Kreischer.
Oh, my God.
He would make it a fun funeral.
He's my godfather, so maybe he would come to mind.
Quinceanera.
You know what? So that's doable. You know, we have a relationship. I mean, you'd want Todd Glass there, right?
I'd kind of want Rob McElhenney there.
I think
we're friends.
Yeah.
He might not think that.
At that point, you cast off the mortal coil. So if you want to show up, you go right ahead, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't have... At that point, You know, because to me, it's you're looking to issue a final insult. They need to know it before you die that you hate them that much.
Hang on. Let me go to Danny. I really like this one. Hi, Danny. Good morning.
Good morning, Preston. You guys freaking rock.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. So let's say you get the unfortunate news that you're going to be passing and you get to make your own plans. Who is it that that you would like to have at your funeral?
Well, besides all you guys, because I love you and you love me, because I'm your biggest listener.
Thank you.
Little Sweet.
Little Sweet. Justin Guarini. Man, in the Little Sweet costume?
He would have to be dressed as Little Sweet.
I wanted to dance on my coffin.
You know what, though? He is such a good guy.
He would do it.
And I think he likes us enough that I think he would do that.
He would.
But he would have to make this sound.
No BS. If I die, I'm going to tell my wife to get in touch with you guys. Get Little Sweet to come to my...
We will do everything we can.
All right, Danny.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, buddy.
You guys rock.
Thank you. That's a good one.
Write his name down so we don't forget.
Yeah, exactly.
Little Sweet. Have you seen the new roster of Little Sweet commercials?
No.
They're great. There's just a whole bunch of them. Coming to a party in the house and... But the great thing is how the women are all turned on by this little sweet. Yeah, and the way he sweet talks them, it's very funny.
Oh my God! Hang on, let me go to Candace. Hi, Candace. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. You guys rock.
Thank you,
Candace. What's up?
I miss you guys. I always kind of get in and try to call you guys, but listen, talking about funerals, this is really kind of out there and sad. But you know the end scene of Mommy Dearest where she's standing over her mother and the coffin.
Yeah.
Well, me and my mom, hi dad, if you're listening, me and my mother have drifted really apart. I have kids involved in everything and it's really sad. She's only met my son. He's 3. She's only seen him twice.
Wow. Okay.
So here's my thing with her and I, we've both equally said, if I were to die, do not come to my funeral.
You've said this to each other?
We both have said this to each other. Yeah.
You want to piss her off? Go to her funeral.
That's what my friend said.
No, I had to pay my respects and disobey her one last time.
Wow.
Thank you, Casey. Yes, I received that because I see the scene of Mommy Dearest where she's just standing there and it's gloomy and it's dark and that's what it's going to be.
Wow.
I'm going to show up at the last minute.
All right. You know what, though? You think about that's because you have to think about things like that, the dynamics and what kind of fun could ensue if after your death at your funeral, there's some sort of bizarre brawl or thing that takes place. You know what I was thinking about, Preston?
Thanks, Candace. In
Big Fish.
Yeah.
When he's being carried.
And
he's so all the people of his life. So I thought, well, maybe if I go that way, I would want, as I think about it, Lil Tay, who's that 9-year-old rapper now, that girl with the
incredible
talent. Right. Clint Howard.
Okay, all right.
Charlie Rose. Susan Boyle.
Steve.
Right?
William Hung. Right.
Like just a collection of
two chains.
And those girls that are joined by the two-headed girls. That
conjoined twins.
No, but there's actually high school girls that have two heads. You've seen them, right?
I thought you meant the Siamese twins
but
from Big Fish.
Anybody with two heads can attend.
Okay.
I know what you're talking about.
You have two heads. Yeah. You're invited.
But I mean, so the people who show up. Yes, here they are. And they're wonderful. There's a documentary series about them. They're fantastic.
You want them to sing a duet?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Let me go to Chris as a request from us. Chris, you're on the air. Good morning. Hey, what's up, buddy?
My wife's dad has just been put on hospice as of yesterday.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's sad. He's probably going to die in the next week, and I was thinking, like, maybe you guys could come.
Does he know us? Does he care?
Did you just say he's probably going to die this weekend, and I want to know if you guys can come?
Yeah, we're
celebrities.
You guys are celebrities.
Who are these people? Hey, son of a bitch, I hate you. You know that I'm an OGL listener.
And she might kill me for throwing this out.
Oh, my God.
That's sad news. I'm sorry to hear that, Chris.
You're clearly destroyed.
I can't make it. Thank you, though, man.
I don't know when it is.
Yeah.
He said it's this week. He said
no, he doesn't know.
But the guy's alive.
He's going to put a pillow over the guy's face to make sure. Yeah, how's Saturday morning work for you?
If you can make it by Sunday, I might be able to go.
I'll shut off the respirator at noon.
So we should be good by Sunday morning.
Not that anyone enjoys going to funerals, but I absolutely loathe going. I can't. It hurts.
What do you mean? Like, because emotional like reasons, suit. Or you just, yeah, like
well,
yeah.
I don't. I hate the dressing up part. I really do.
No, just being around death. Being, you know, it's
a reminder of your own mortality.
It's so depressing and so hard, and I just have dark thoughts that I don't like to go.
Like you
to.
Want to steal the body?
No,
I don't. I want to have sex with this dead person.
No, oh my God. I want to have sex with this dead person so bad, and I hate these things because they remind me how much I want to have sex with dead people. Hey, how are you? I'm so sorry.
Oh, God. Wow. I mean, you could quite conceivably plan your own wake and funeral, but no. I don't want to do too much because I don't...
You want to be surprised.
I don't want to tempt fate too much.
No,
what
I know what
they
you
did
mean.
For me? Yeah. Oh, an ice cream cake.
The superstition sort of overrides your desire to have a great song played.
But I will say, nobody's allowed to like dress up for mine.
Okay. No.
Track suits.
Well, I mean,
sweatpants
honestly,
and
listen, if you're going to work and obviously, you know, you wear nice clothes to work or something along those lines, or you're coming home from work, I understand that. But you have to take your tie off at least.
Makes sense, though, for you. Mm-hmm.
Jim Henson had a similar request when he died. He said no one could wear black.
One can wear black.
Yeah, he didn't want anyone. He didn't want it to be a really, really somber affair.
That's something that I would love to try to enforce is that people have a good time and that it's a. I don't want anyone feeling sad, you know.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I mean, I've always been light and shine and happy. I would never want that to happen, you know. And even at my mother's funeral, it was like we tried. We wanted people to laugh and have good memories.
Well, then have like fun music playing because they usually have
Baby Elephant Walk.
Well, I was thinking something like yeah, as you walk.
That's still a little somber.
Is it?
Yeah.
We had, for my grandfather, he said the same thing. It's not sad. You have to celebrate. You know, I've been alive for a long time, or I was, and the restaurant was like, you guys have to go now. Like, we partied.
Yeah, wow, that's cool.
We had a great time. We sat around. We talked about him. And yeah, it was a full-on party.
It was a celebration of his life, and that's what he wanted it to be. Yep. Yeah.
What was that horse the horse that used to jump to the high dive at the down in
the Steel Pier?
The Steel Pier.
I don't remember the name of the horse.
Put my body in a saddle on a horse
and send him off
and have it do that.
Actually dive.
Casey, I was kind of dreading going to your father's funeral and because I like you, Preston, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to interact with a person who's bereaving, but you made it easier for me being there, if that
I'll
makes any sense.
I'll tell you why it's easier being on the receiving line.
Okay.
It is.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember or not, but we rubbed beards.
And did like, we?
Yeah. No. And that made me, because I felt like bawling at your
you end up,
funeral.
You end up, or at least this is the way it was for me, you end up consoling the people more than them to you. Yeah,
I believe it.
But you've also, by the time people show up, you've been through a bit of a mourning process.
Yeah.
And they're coming in anew, you know?
My wife will sign us up for every funeral that comes along.
Why?
Because
the spread is always so good.
No, because she feels it's out of respect.
She's empathetic.
She wants to take our whole family to this person's best friend whose mother died, you know, or whatever. And it's like, and I always have to do this. I do this thing like, do I have to go? And then, of course, that's the wrong thing to say. That is, exactly. So
when you know, you know. I mean, that's as far as going to a viewing or anything. When you know, you know, and I you don't overreach. But also, there's kind of like there's this thing that I read. I think it's called always go to the viewing or always go to the funeral. And so, I mean, it's a good read. It's just kind of an essay about that. Like, you know, yes, are you going to go to somebody's cousin's brother's? I don't necessarily know if that's the case, but I mean, if there is,
you send a gift.
If there is a one person separation, then yeah,
you don't listen. You know when it's appropriate for you to go to a wake or whatever, or to attend a thing.
Here's
the
deal. You talked about my father. I remember the people that came that I was like, wow, I can't believe that person showed up.
You thought, that was really nice of them. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Kathy, you go to a lot of them. There's somebody.
I do?
Somebody's always dying.
No, but that's because my family's so big. Someone in the family's always dying. I have to.
Yeah. But you remember at Casey's father's funeral, I felt kind of awkward because we got ushered to the front of the line.
Well, we all felt awkward.
Remember that? I was like, oh.
Privilege.
But it happened. Like,
but the funeral.
We were just like, the funeral.
Some of us are privileged.
Yes.
Well, the funeral director said, if you wait in this line, you're not going to see them. We have to cut it off. So, and we had to go. I mean,
that's how
we work with Casey every single
well
day.
Well loved Casey's father was. There was a wonderful turnout.
Yeah.
And we used our, you know, it was like Studio 54.
You wore your lanyard, you guys.
Don't you know who we are?
Don't you want Bill Weston to speak at your ceremony?
This man here lived a privileged life. He lived his life as if he was a stool with three legs.
And of course, he would be gesticulating the entire time.
Bill would come down the center aisle on his motorcycle.
Bill should actually, even though he doesn't know sign language, he should be an interpreter.
Serious. He could be like that guy that faked it.
Yeah. Set him next to Kenny at the next...
He is actually an elector at church.
Yeah, he's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep.
I went to a guy named Dr. Lenker's funeral a few years back. He was the fraternity advisor, and Dr. Lenker had such a positive impact on so many people that his funeral, just like yours, your father's, Casey, was packed. And I left that funeral wanting to be a better person. I've failed in that attempt.
Oh, absolutely.
But you walk out of it thinking.
You left and slept with his wife.
Yeah. I totally banged Dr. Lenker's wife.
Slept with the dude's wife.
No, but like if you go to a good eulogy and see what somebody, the positive impact this person had on so many other people's lives. It can be a really uplifting thing.
Unfortunately, we got to wrap it up, and we're not going to be able to get these calls, but let me read off the subjects that we're going to say. Gary said he wants everyone to get high at his house. No funeral, just get high.
Yeah.
Okay. Matt, his uncle had liver cancer. He had his own wake while he was alive.
Oh, my
God. Interesting.
That's a cool idea. Josh wants Mark Hamill to do the Joker voice at his funeral.
That's a good choice.
Joe said that he wants to invite all the people who hate him and have their own section at the funeral.
Yes.
Alan wants people to play beer pong on his casket. Put the fun back in funeral. Jamie wants Hanson to perform a sad version of Mbop.
Oh, oh my God.
Awesome.
A sad version.
Throw it down.
Justin wants famous little people dancing at his funeral.
So we're kind of in the same realm.
All famous dwarves. Yeah. And Brianna said she wants to have popcorn in her mouth when she's cremated. So just the kernels.
Oh, okay.
And then they would pop.
Well, I like that idea. I was just going to have dip in my mouth.
Yeah, you were. Great like guacamole,
idea.
Right?
Guacamole.
Thanks for sharing. We got started on that with John McCain is planning his because unfortunately he's you know it's not looking good for him with his brain cancer.
Yes.
So thanks for your stories. We appreciate it. We got to take a break. We'll come back in a second. We got the B file on the way. We're checking in with Fox 29 and we have birthday bucks coming up too. So $1,000 right around the corner. Stay with us.
All this year, 93.3 WMMR celebrates 50 years of rocking Philadelphia, and we're celebrating with the best of everything that rocks, including something brand new, tapping the keg for our first ever beer festival, WMMR's Birthday Beer Bash. Yeah. Cheers to 50 years. Saturday, June 23rd, outdoors at Sugar House Casino. Throughout the afternoon, enjoy unlimited samples of over 100 beers, plus live music, food trucks, tailgate games, and lots more. Tickets on sale now. Now, get to WMMR.com for tickets and more info. VIP and early bird discount available while supplies last. WMMR's Birthday Beer Bash. Cheers to 50 years. From 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Hey, can I do a quick shout out?
Yes.
There's a landscaping crew that works in my neighborhood. They listen to us every single morning. They're cranked up on their radios outside. So I wanted to give a shout out to J&B Durstein, Josh Durstein, and the crew. They're awesome. So thank you guys for listening. And not a bad day to be working outside.
Yes.
Today,
yeah. Though it's going to get hot, what, on Saturday, 91?
Up to 90 plus. So, but today, sunny and 80. It's absolutely gorgeous. We're going to have Mark Zumoff on the program in a little while talking. Sixers. He is up in Boston. We are on the way with our birthday bucks in just a couple of minutes, so we will have that. I need to dump out on that.
I thought it was actually a French word, but you thought it was an expletive.
No, I just mispronounced the word fox, but I put a U instead of an O. For those who didn't hear that because I dumped out on it.
It's a new network.
I have a headache today, and I'll use that as my excuse, sure. If you will. It's a new network. Wow. We have a secret text word, by the way, a chance for you to win tickets to Rock Allegiance. So your opportunity to win there, text the word secret to 39333. Send a word back to you in a little while. We'll ask you to call them with that word, and the designated caller will win those tickets. By the way, they go on sale Friday at noon at Ticketmaster.com. The music means we're going live on Fox, so let's do it.
Hey, President Steve, congratulations on the article in the Philadelphia Inquirer today. It's massive.
Thank you. Yeah,
big
I haven't.
Time detail.
Yeah, Preston was reading it. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. But
yeah, 20 years on the air together, which is wow. pretty cool this month.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And on top of that, you're also cover girls.
Oh, well, cover man.
Yeah.
Cover man. Oh.
Philly Current Magazine. Yeah, we went to a release party last night.
It was wonderful.
I want to thank Eddie and the gang at Philly Current. We were at the Man Young Tavern, and a lot of great people there. It was a lot of fun.
Are you sure that he listens to the show, Eddie, with Philly Current? Because it says 20 years of squeaky clean radio. I'm not sure.
I don't think Eddie was familiar with us at all before that interview.
It's okay, though. Yeah. It was a nice party.
Yeah.
It was all good.
Again, congratulations. Hey, real quickly here, we saw this survey that says that venting about your boss or venting about problems at work to a coworker is supposed to be good for your health. People that hold it in are getting sick.
I agree. I think it's something that we all at one time or another will vent to. I think I vented with everyone here about work situations or maybe someone else. My favorite thing to do is to cause strife where there isn't and hopefully promote an in-house fist fight.
Well, he's
it's just a thing.
You're just looking out for our health.
Really, I don't want you to die young. And I think if you can just tap off some of that stress by getting into a good old-fashioned melee, why not?
Yeah.
Well, Steve, who do you vent to the most?
You know what? I talk to Casey a lot of most. I just learned English and it's working out nicely. But Casey's here later.
Yeah.
And I'm here later. So we'll make up things and we'll try to float false rumors about everyone in the room here.
We'll try and start a fist fight. Yeah.
Just to start that fist fight. But no, I talk to Casey a lot. I talk to Preston. I think it's, you know what happens? We end up getting, if we're going to vent, we vent on air.
Yeah, we do a lot of that.
That's the best way to do it.
But you know what? I always think of the show, and Preston, perhaps you agree with this, we're a team. Like we're all, you know, we're against, well, if we're, it's, we're a unit.
It's a bit of a therapy session every day in here, too.
It is, so
we get to share that stuff. But I vent to Casey a lot. I mean, when we're off air and Nick,
Casey's usually hearing everybody's problems.
They usually hang out here in the studio after the show, and I do as well. And I mainly, and I didn't really want to, but since we're talking about it, I mainly vent about Kathy. And I'm going to do this publicly because the sexual harassment has got to stop.
Me too. Wow. Yeah, hashtag just, me too.
I'm just tired of it.
Hashtag Kathy stop. Yeah. Hashtag Kathy's a predator.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we didn't hire Kathy to replace Chanel.
You know, you've heard the story.
You can see it coming.
It was very weird. Wolf whistles alone are getting annoying.
It's terrible. Yeah. What's happening?
Yeah, it's horrible.
You know, Mike.
If venting about your workplace makes you healthy, I should be like Atlas.
Well, do you vent to Alex all the time? Because you guys are a team.
I can answer that question. Yes.
Okay.
Whether it's a text message. Their
ears are bleeding after the show every day. Congratulations, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, guys. We'll talk to you later. Okay. Let's see. It's 8:00, so we got to do the. We got to get this money thing out of the way, Kathy. We'll get back to traffic. Wait, you already did.
We already did traffic.
Do it again.
All right. No.
Oh, yeah. It was so good.
We don't need to do that again. We need to do the birthday. Bucks. So let me
wait. I did the wrong thing.
Okay, hang on a second. Casey's moving the proper sound elements into place.
Todd's getting upset.
I'm sorry. We got it.
Here we go.
MMR's birthday bucks. Birthday bucks.
All right. And is this today's word right here?
Yes, sir.
All right. Then I have it for you, friends. You need to text the following word to a very special number that I will give you in a second. So the word is cake. C-A-K-E. You need to text the word cake to our special company-wide short code number. It is 40772. So do that now. Text the word cake to 40772. You have until 15 minutes after the hour to get on it. And you might win $1,000 from WMMR Philadelphia and A&T Chevy in Sellersville. Cake to 40772. Good luck to you.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, this morning it is brought to you by Scruples Gentlemen's Club. Looking to party with the hottest girls in Bucks County? Then come party with the ladies of Scruples Gentlemen's Club. Enjoy happy hour specials and visit gotscruples.com for more information. A man is behind bars because deputies say he attacked two people with a sword. He was angry over socks.
He was angry over socks.
That is correct.
So he took a sword.
Deputies were called to a home for the incident. 47-year-old Brandon McCray started arguing with people inside his home and accused several of them of stealing his socks.
Mm-hmm.
The report states McCray threatened the people in the home, saying that he would be back and they would be sorry.
I don't know. We're looking at a picture of the guy. He seems sort of buttoned down.
Deputies say Cray then left the home and returned with a ninja sword, but he used which he used to injure two people.
Well, he knew the ninja and how often they were able to keep track of their socks.
One woman identified as the suspect's ex-girlfriend suffered a large and significant cut on her leg from the sword.
So he was just flailing away.
Deputies say McCray also swung the sword at a man's head and neck. The victim suffered injuries to his hands and arms. And the man also nearly lost several of his fingers in the whole thing.
The question is, did he find his sock?
I don't know. There was no resolution on that. McCray left the home after the attack. He was taken into custody at a neighbor's house and is facing charges of domestic aggravated battery with deadly weapon and attempted murder. both victims are expected to be okay.
It's like the worst samurai movie ever.
Yeah. A man known in his trailer park as Santa Claus, because he looks a little bit like him, has been convicted of breaking into a neighbor's home to leave her notes and panties that he wanted to see her wear.
That's nice.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, he's a giver.
Santa ever leave you panties for Christmas?
Yes.
Yeah.
They arrested,
wear them and then send them back to me.
They arrested Isitro Lee Sanchez after serving a search warrant on his trailer where they found about... Well, listen to this. Where they found about 90 pounds of women's underwear. Whoa,
Santa uses them to pleasure himself. I'm a kinky bastard.
After a one-day trial, jurors found Sanchez guilty as charged, and it was on three counts of burglary and a count of aggravated stalking.
This is very impressive. We're looking at his mugshot. He is 9 feet tall, Preston.
No way.
Where do you see that?
Or maybe I'm misreading that chart.
I think
there
that's
next
5 foot nine.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah, you're right.
Oh.
So he'd be exceptionally large.
Santa's got to go.
Got some panties to deposit.
Sanchez faces up to 40 years in prison on the combined charges. Prosecutor Kaylee Rivera told the jury that from April 2017, one of Sanchez's neighbors received countless notes and pieces of undergarments in her car, on her front porch, and inside her home on her bed.
Dear God.
With each note was a subtle message that a stranger was watching her and waited for the day that he could see her in the underwear that he'd picked out.
He's such a romantic.
His defense attorney, Seth Killian, argued that prosecutors had no direct evidence that tied him to the stalking charge. He conceded Sanchez was in her home, but that he did not have a criminal intent. The only thing, he said, they are going to prove is that he was there.
Huh.
But they won't be able to prove that he was there with intent to commit a crime. The jury disagreed on that. Rivera presented bag after bag of panties to the jury during the women's testimony. Having her read aloud the notes attached, the woman said while the jury saw numerous panties in the trial, she hadn't been able to collect all of them. She said it got to a point that it happened several times a day.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
I don't know what the hell you expect of me. Santa's got to go.
Man, Santa's very busy. So when you were a kid, would you leave a glass of milk and panties for Santa?
Yeah.
She said, I was just gathering the notes and the panties so I could report them later. It got too much. I worked two jobs. A woman said, on top of the growing task of collecting all the evidence, she and her family also became scared and eventually were forced to move.
And this is in a trailer park, right?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
A Franklin, Indiana man who's been arrested once for driving his lawnmower while drunk was arrested again on Saturday for the same reason. A sheriff's deputy was sent to a lawn around 5:15 p.m. Listen to this. After a caller said a man wearing a neon green shirt riding a red lawnmower pulled into his yard and began to mow his grass.
What?
Was he staying within the lines? Was it erratic?
I don't know. The caller said he told the man to get off his property.
I'm doing you a favor.
The officer spotted the man headed on his lawnmower on County Road. The man was identified by his ID card as Barry K. Ridge. Ridge told the sheriff's deputy that he was headed from his uncle's house back to his home.
Name's Ridge. Barry K. Ridge. I'm a lawnmower.
The deputy said that he noticed Ridge's eyes appeared glassy. He asked Ridge if he drank any alcohol, and Ridge reportedly told the deputy that he had three beers about an hour ago.
He had one of those cool lawnmowers that kind of like has tank controls, Preston?
What's that now?
See, what he's driving here?
It has treads. Yeah. Or it has wheels on either side, and you control with the bars in front. Okay, so anyhow, breath test had registered 0.165. The legal limit in Indiana is 0.08. Ridge was arrested on a preliminary charge of operating while intoxicated with a previous conviction. His lawnmower was also impounded.
So these guys, you have a lot of stories like this where guys get pulled over on lawnmowers or tractors. They're considered motor vehicles.
Yep, you can't do it.
Can't do it.
And then one more story. In India, a man who is trying to take a selfie with a bear was mauled to death. Yeah, exactly. The man, Prabhu Batara, was with a group of wedding guests when they stopped in a forest in India.
Oh, you want to take a selfie? Okay.
Batara spotted the bear.
You want to put it here, landscape. And if you push down the volume button, it'll take the picture. And then when this is all done, I'm going to eat you.
And decided he needed a selfie with it.
All right, duck lips, everybody.
The Hindustan Times said the fellow passengers who watched the entire act were busy in shooting the incident instead of trying to rescue him. So they kept taking pictures while he's being...
You know what's very funny? They actually put a bear filter on me. An actual bear.
This is the third wild animal selfie death in this region of India in the past year. So people aren't learning from other people's mistakes.
And the friends just continue to take pictures while he's being mauled to death.
I guess so. That's what they said. Huh. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. Let's give away a case of beer, a Yards Brawler. Caller number 12 at 215-263-WMMR. Yards Brewing Company introduces Brawler proudly. Canned in 12-ounce and 16-ounce pounders for the first time right here in the City of Champions. Visit the New Yards Tap Room at 5th and Spring Garden or grab them at Milk Boy Philadelphia on the corner of 11th and Chestnut Street. We'll be right back. Mark Zumoff coming up talking Sixers. Stay there.
Hi, I'm Alexa.
Amazon's voice-activated personal assistant, Alexa, will take you right to MMR's brand new skill. It's the easiest way to open the station live stream and our audio on demand. Simply say, Alexa, open MMR.
All right, let's do this. Everybody. Sixers are attempting to create history, actually clawing their way out of the basement in the NBA playoffs, down 3-1 in the series, of course, against Boston. Can they do it? Are we witnessing a miraculous moment? We very well may be, and we have standing by in Boston to talk about these very things. Our good friend, play-by-play announcer, Mr. Mark Zumoff.
Yeah. Hey.
Mark, good morning, sir.
I am humbled by the applause, guys. Wow. It was worth waking up early for.
Nice. Excellent. All right. So how you feeling, man? This is, as I said, this could be historic. And it's obviously these type of situations have happened many, many times over the years. But NBA history, nobody's ever come back to from a 3-0 deficit. Do you hold out hope for that? Do you think things can be done, Mark? You're the expert here.
Well, you always hold out hope. I mean, hope is what makes the world go round.
Yeah.
0-129, though, is a dawning figure. And that's what the Sixers face in terms of the history that you're talking about. So it's got to continue tonight. They kept it alive the other night. T.J. McConnell, one of the heroes, he was inserted into the starting lineup, played 39 minutes. And it was an unbelievable story because when you think about it, here's a guy who was never drafted. He is a free agent who is in the right place at the right time because at the time the Sixers are going through the process. In fact, he told me on my podcast yesterday there's no way he'd be in the NBA if the Sixers weren't in the midst of the process. So he's able to make the roster.
Wow.
And in his so finally in his third season, he gets an opportunity to start a playoff game. And it was an unbelievable scene because he gets a career-high 19 points. It really inspires the team, I think, with his energy, with his defense. And don't forget, while you might think that, hey, he's just a guy who hustles and tries hard and does all that, he certainly does all that, but he's a skilled basketball player and a really good guy. And now they have to win in a building, meaning the TD Garden here in Boston, where the Celtics have not lost yet in the playoffs. So recent history suggests that that's going to be difficult. But listen, this is what they signed up for. You knew that they were giving up the home court going into the series. They knew if they were to win the series at all, they'd have to win in Boston, and now it starts tonight.
Yeah, and listen, the Sixers, to end their season, went on a nice long run, so I don't think four in a row is really out of the question. It's, this is a deep team in Boston with no Kyrie and obviously no Hayward. They're playing very well. What I find interesting, though, is if you go back to the last series with the Heat, when the series was on its way of being closed out, the Heat, the series got really chippy. And the Heat, I thought, started to lose their composure. You know, Dwayne Wade had done a couple of things that I thought were uncharacteristic of Dwayne Wade. And in the last game, it got really chippy, but I thought that the Celtics lost their composure, which I thought was weird because, you know, they had such a commanding lead in this series. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's an interesting observation. And I'll tell you what, the internet is having a field day taking a look at Terry Rozier going at it with Joel Embiid and Embiid's comments about him being too short to reach his face in a boxing match and all of that. So, I found some real humor in that. But listen, this is typically what happens in any series. I mean, it could certainly happen to the Sixers tonight. If they sense that they're losing grip of the game and things get a little chippy, maybe it'll be problematic for them to keep their heads. You know, it was a situation where the Celtics felt perhaps it was slipping away and maybe it got under their skin. So that's all part of the humanity of it all. But this is typical of the playoffs, guys, where shots are that much harder to get off, where teams are defending that much more, where each possession is magnified. And now you're talking about the second straight elimination game for the Sixers, who are feeling pretty good about what they did at home the other night. So it wouldn't surprise me if at some point during the game somebody throws an elbow into somebody or somebody hits somebody in the chops and things get a little heated. But that's what it's all about. That's what NBA basketball is all about.
Yeah, Mark, I mean, the Sixers clearly did not play their best basketball in games 1, 2, and 3. They played better in game 4 to get the win. But I've been a little surprised in this series that they haven't played the way that they played, as Casey referenced, the last 20-some games of the season, and certainly the way that they played against the Heat. And specifically, you know, and sometimes just the luck of the draw, but specifically making the threes. If they play, it's a big if, of course, but if they play the way that they had in that Heat series or in the end of the regular season, I'm really optimistic about it.
Yeah, the only thing is the Celtics are a different team, and I dare say a better team than the Heat. They are, and the analytics will bear it out, the best defensive team in the NBA, and they were certainly the best defensive team in the NBA defending the three, and they've shown that in this series. I mean, take a look at the stats. Joel Embiid is getting all the shots he wants. And what they're doing is they are allowing Aaron Baines and to some extent Al Horford to guard him one-on-one. So what they're doing is they're sticking with the Sixer shooters. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, they've done a really good job at limiting them. I think J.J. Redick, and although he didn't have a great game in game 4, has been the Sixers' most consistent from beyond. So until they show that they can get free of those guys and execute off the ball and get better looks and hit those shots, they are subject to the Celtics and their three-point defense, which, again, was the best in the NBA during the regular season.
Interesting. Well, two things. First off, for the record, my new hip-hop name is Lil Chippy.
Oh, so, nice. I like that.
All right. I'm going to go with that. And number like two, it. Though, the I've always heard it said, so this is such an improbable situation we find ourselves in. When you talk about, you know, everyone always says, you know, the Sixers have delivered on the promise, but no one expected it, that it would happen at this exponential rate. So in a way, I've heard in other, you know, whatever it be, when it gets down to a tournament level, the team that is sort of the unexpected team is always described as dangerous because, you know, the fact that they're this far is kind of an incredible thing. So there, I don't want to say there's a nothing to lose vibe, but when you can play a little bit lighter and looser, you know, and
kind of playing with house money right now.
Yeah. And so in that way, do you agree with that, Mark, that it does give them a vibe that, you know, teams like this traditionally have where let's just go play the game and see where the chips fall.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that. That said, I think now that they have come this far and there is that, you know, that notion out there that they could become the first team in NBA history to come back from a 3-0.
Yeah.
I think that they'll put that pressure on themselves.
Okay.
To try to do that. But listen, because there is no precedent, you could certainly assume that there's some of the pressure is off in terms of just being able to go out and play your game and not have to worry that much. But In regards to what you were saying, you know, it's funny. We, as fans, we got really bummed out when they got into the 3-0 hole. But I think in the light of day, when you look back at this team, say, July and August, well, heck, let's go back to October when people were saying, gee, I hope they play 500 ball and Joel Embiid stays healthy.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll make the playoffs. Well, now they won 52 games and we've gone two rounds of the playoffs. So perspective certainly teaches us a lot. And I think that, yeah, in the heat of the moment right now, we would like to see them advance and go to the conference finals. But in reality, I think it's already been a great year.
Hey, Mark, I know that I am impartial when I watch this team. But when I saw what went down with Rozier and Embiid, how can that be called a double technical? I just don't understand that. And maybe because you're around the game so much, you see it a little bit different. But was that the right call?
Well, far be it from me to judge whether or not it was the right call. I will admit, and I hear what you're saying, and there are a lot of people who agree with you, but in the NBA, more times than not, when two players get into a tussle like that, where each has some level of responsibility, you could say, well, it was 80-20 Rozier, but in situations like that, it's not unusual to have a double technical.
Yeah, but two punches were thrown by one player and zero punches were thrown by the other.
Well, right. No, I hear what you're saying. But, you know, I guess if, which he's not going to do, but I guess if Embiid runs away and hides, maybe they don't call a technical on him. But typically for officials, it's an easy way for them to adjudicate. Each guy gets a technical. And, of course, if you get two of those, you're thrown out. So it helps to, in the official's mind, to kind of cool that kind of stuff a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But no free throws are shot in that situation, so you don't have to worry about giving up a point either way. So it's become an easier call for officials to make, and it's not unusual in that situation. Whether or not you feel as though Rozier instigated or not, many officials are on that side, go with the double technical.
Mark, I heard that Embiid loves to trash talk, but because English is his second language, that he's not that great at it, and that some other players.
Yeah, you know what? You don't hear his French or Cameroonian accent on Twitter.
Okay,
he is fighting, and he's really good.
Well, he's really smart, and I love reading what he has to say. Hearing what he has to say is an entirely different matter. So I was just wondering if you've heard anything courtside that just sort of made you chuckle or laugh to yourself.
Not actually, because quite honestly, our broadcast location when we are at home is about 15 or 20 rows back. But you could see the sign language. I mean, I thought it was great with Marcus Morris, who is a Philly guy, by the way, while they were trash talking, giving like the 3-0.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could say whatever you want, but our team is up 3-0. So I thought that was pretty funny myself.
Mark, is there any truth to the rumor that on the inside of his mask that he's seeing what Iron Man sees?
You know, somebody was spreading a rumor. I think one of the local guys that either some changes were going to be made in that mask or perhaps he would ditch the mask at all. But I haven't heard anything about that.
Okay.
And listen, I think it's fair to say that one of the reasons why he's not shooting that well in the playoffs is because of the mask. I do think it inhibits him somewhat. But listen, thank goodness for it. I just want to give a shout out and props to the Sixers medical staff. They've done an unbelievable job. You have no idea how many people had to be commissioned from the time it took to mold it to his face, to get all the components together. There's a separate goggle component that's inside the mask that sometimes pops out. But listen, it's allowed him to play.
And yes.
There's no way. I mean, I don't think you get by Miami unless he's in the lineup.
Yeah.
It's really, really hard for me to stomach this series being down 3-1 because in my mind, games 2 and 3 should have been won by the Sixers. I think game 1, we clearly lost that game. But games 2 and 3, especially 3, should have been ours. What are your thoughts on those?
Well, I certainly think game 2, well, you're right, games 2 and 3, so let's analyze. Game 2, you're up 22 points. Now, albeit you're up 22 on the other team's home floor, but I think you're expected to seize control of the game at that point and hopefully win, though it was relatively early.
Well, is it too late to ask for a new ruling?
and as far as game 3 is concerned, you know, it's funny. In basketball in particular, people often joke, well, I tune in for the last 2 minutes because that's all that really matters.
Yeah.
But it's like watching the end of a marathon. Typically, the only thing you see in the marathon is the guy crossing the finish line with his arms raised. What you don't see is, you know, the hills he had to go over, say, at the 20-minute mark, or the good start that he got, and other things that went into him winning the race. Well, it's the same thing in basketball. The J.J. Redick pass or the Ben Simmons inbounds pass tend to be magnified. The inbounds plays that the Celtics made with Jaylen Brown and Al Horford and how successful they were. You tend to magnify those because they came at the end of the game. But there are literally dozens and dozens of possessions in a game where if they had gone different ways or certain things happened in the second quarter, you wouldn't be in that position.
Yeah, I think so, in particular a missed dunk by Ben Simmons in the last 2 minutes. Really.
Well, there you go. Okay, so and that's just one thing. I mean, you could what if yourself, you know, to the end of the day. The fact of the matter is there are always a number of different things that happen in a game that determine the outcome of it. But as far as the stuff at the end of the game, the good news is that you could take out of that this team is going to be really good for years to come, and there are going to be other playoff series, and there are going to be other similar situations. And you could bet that smart guys like Simmons and Embiid are going to flash back to that stuff, and they say, you know what? We learned from that. We're going to have to correct that issue going forward and either be more sure-handed with passes or be more sure-handed with the ball in general.
Mark, TNT's carrying the game tonight. It's a national broadcast, 8 o'clock out of Boston. What's NBC Sports Philadelphia coverage? What do you guys got going on?
Right, so thanks for asking. Mm-hmm. So we have our normal Philly Sports Talk, which is going to come on at 5 o'clock. I'll be on that at 5:15 reporting. Pardon me, Jessica Camerato, who's our Sixers insider, she'll be reporting as well. And then we have an hour-long pregame show. It should be Michael Barkan, the coach, Jim Lynham, and Mark Jackson. They'll be in the studio at 7, and Jessica and I will be on during that time as well. Then we'll have a Sixers postgame live, and the plan is that I'm going to say when the Sixers win. Hopefully I'll have a walk-off interview with a player, and we'll be previewing Game 6, which will be coming up a couple of nights from now at Wells Fargo Center.
Nice.
Okay. All right. And, hopefully things will continue on, and you'll get some more practice. Get yourself ready for our Papa Shot Challenge again in December. call the play-by-play.
I'm already in the back warming up.
You have to.
Those guys take it seriously, man. So
no, I took it seriously.
I know.
And by the way, I've been to those events that you guys have had under that tent. It's unbelievable what you guys have put together. You guys rock.
Well, there's a lot of people. Everybody. Yeah. We're all. It's a big collective, and we're thrilled that everyone participates.
Yeah, we appreciate it, Mark. Thanks for your help, and enjoy tonight. Let's enjoy victory. All right, man.
You got it, guys.
All right, thank you, Mark Zumoff. Guys. Yeah. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Great. And Casey, you and Nick, you guys are right. I mean, those two games were so close that this isn't ridiculous. It's not like we're getting our asses handed to us every time. So it can be done.
I'm cautiously optimistic.
All right. That's a good way to put it. There's a piece of audio I would like to hear. I have not seen it, but you guys pulled it up on Twitter earlier, and I saw the video clip playing, but I didn't have the audio because we were about to go on the air.
I love it.
But in our fair city... they are currently filming the movie Creed 2.
Yes, Electric Boogaloo.
No, not Electric Boogaloo. I enjoyed that movie. I enjoyed Creed.
Creed is a wonderful movie.
I thought it was well done. And so they're filming Creed 2, and obviously the whole gang is in town. You know, Michael B. Jordan and Sly.
Who is directing.
Yeah, so there's a clip of him. It's off of Twitter. And apparently he went into South Philly and he went to the old neighborhood and he went to Rocky's old house.
You know the stairs and the whole thing? It's wonderful. And to see him now decades later, it's just great.
Is this his apartment?
Apartment.
Where Mickey,
when he comes out, when he's presented with Buckus.
Yeah.
That's where it is.
Okay, because...
It's not where Paulie lives.
All right, that's what I was wondering.
No, where Paulie and Adrian live, this is where she says, you want a roommate?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. I can't say it yet. Aloysius. Yeah.
You can say Aloysius, but not absolutely.
I don't know. It's the way my teeth are bent.
Arboretum.
Yeah, Arboretum.
Which was said earlier this morning.
Elocution.
Yeah.
These are Rocky steps. These are not the Rocky steps.
And no.
I went in museum steps.
Talked to Marissa about it, and she was like, she was looking for audio from him at the art museum, and I felt like an idiot. I was like, no. These are the steps in South Philly.
You know this, Preston, to that scene when Mickey comes to make the pitch.
I
if you don't tear up,
I almost cry,
and then you feel elation for him.
Mickey wants to be his manager because
no, he does not.
Man, right? You live as long as I live, you keep some secrets.
No, he wants it. You know, he wants to be Stallone gets a trainer, shot at the title, and he wants to Mickey wants to train him, so he goes to his and this was after he had kicked Rocky out of the gym.
Yes.
Rocky was working for, a
leg breaker.
A loan shark. He was being the muscle for a loan shark. And he kicks him out of there, but he comes crawling back and he wants to train Rock. And Rock obviously was pissed at him. And he barely talks to him during that scene.
Stays in the bathroom.
Just shuts him down. Mickey leaves.
I'm going to the bathroom. And I'm making poo-poo.
And after he leaves, he starts to really say what he wanted to say, and it's so emotional. He's just,
he has a little press clipping that he shows that this isn't me, you know. And by the way, lest we forget, Stallone wrote the script, which is brilliant.
Yeah,
and the good heart that is in Rocky. Yes, he goes after him, but he has his little blow up, and then he goes after him.
He starts yelling about how horrible his life is and all this stuff. Oh, it's just, I'm getting a little choked up thinking about it, and then. You know, he'd get.
And then you see my girlfriend? Jesus Christ!
Then he gets out.
It looks like she was hit by a bus.
He gets it out of his system, and then he walks down, and Mickey's walking down the street, and he comes down, he puts his arm around him, and it's a really tender moment. It's really cool.
I have my TV remote back. I didn't see you. I didn't know you caught that.
Mickey's a bastard. So it takes place in South Philly, but I didn't know this. It was actually filmed in Kensington, and that's where these steps
in
are.
Kensington?
Yeah, it's in Kensington.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And that's where he was yesterday.
Yeah, because there's no L, right, in
not Kensington, South Philly.
South Philly,
right?
Huh?
Yeah. So, it's on Sly Stallone's Instagram account, which is official Sly Stallone.
And, Stephen, the word Kensington, there's no L. All right, so let me play this audio. This is him walking up the steps. I haven't heard this yet. Here we go.
I don't know how many times I'm going to get a chance to visit this place, so maybe it's just the last time. I sit here on the Rocky steps, and a lot of memories went down here. I remember when I did the scene with Adrian here, and I said, look at this face. This is a face you can trust. Someday they're going to put this face on a stamp. Anyway, it's great memories, 1818. Pretty fantastic. Well, some things come to an end, some things don't. There's just no end to Rocky. You keep punching.
You know, it's in the extras for Rocky Balboa, which Steve and I absolutely love that movie.
I believe it to be the equal of the original Rocky.
When in the extras, he talks about filming
Milo Ventimiglia.
Milo Ventimiglia was talking about how when Stallone was going through the Italian market and shooting scenes, he said that people were calling him Rocky and saying, yo, Rock, it's great to have you back in the neighborhood.
That's awesome.
And the way Stallone was just there talking about Adrian and Rocky, it's almost like they're real people. And he refers to them as real people.
He created something that is inextricable from the legend and lore of Philadelphia. These characters live and breathe.
Yeah.
And people joke about the fact that one of our iconic statues is of a pretend character, but it is. It means a lot to everything here.
Hey, Steve, let me ask you, because I know that you lived in a few different places. Of all the places that you live, is there one in particular that you think of as home?
Here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't sure, when the last time you went back.
East, my original, listen, wherever I was with my wife was always home.
Okay.
You know? So I think wherever my wife is home. But where
like your high school home or
East Northport, growing up with my mom and my dad, East Northport, Long Island.
Yeah.
And then for the most impact on my life and the most importance to me, Philadelphia.
Why do you ask?
Well, I was just wondering, when was the last time you actually saw your East Northport home?
It's funny you should bring that up. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
And all I can say is that the people who have owned it since really made it much better than it
did. Did they really?
They've vastly improved it.
I consider St. Louis to be, it's where my formative years were. Yeah. It's where I grew up. It's where I developed into the person that I am. And so when I went back for my 30th high school reunion, I went back into my old neighborhood and saw the old house. And so when we built our house there, it was brand new. So it was farmland. and it was very barren. And eventually, you know, we planted trees. But even though I lived there a good portion, the trees only got so big. I went back. They were massive.
Yeah.
I had to check and make sure that I was in the right neighborhood. It did not look the same at all.
Quick little story. You know, I love the movie Brooklyn so much. Is yeah. There's that scene where they go out to Long Island, and they you know they're in an open field and they're talking about a development that's going to be in place. My mother put $20 down to secure the house that we eventually ended up living in East Northport. They were those people coming out from the city. You know, but for me, why Philadelphia means so much is because it's always been for a substantial part of my life where I made my living.
Yeah.
Whether it be through stand-up comedy or coming down, you know, for radio and everything now.
It's interesting that you mentioned trees, though, Press, because, you know, my mom moved in with me in October. And so there's a new young couple living in my house that I grew up in. And my mom told me the other day, and it seemed like she was a little bit upset about it. Not mad, but sad. But they cut down the giant walnut tree in the backyard, and it was a, you know, a really, really big tree.
Yeah.
And I think she made up an excuse as to why she was upset about it, because she's like, well, that's what the squirrels use for their to eat.
Oh. Yeah, the people that bought my parents' house where I grew up, they same thing. They cut down like two huge trees that were in the yard, and they kind of it looks like very bare and a little boring now.
Kathy, yeah. We did this. So we bought in this house in Mount Airy. We cut. There were beautiful trees. However, after those freaking nor'easters.
Storms, yeah.
When I moved, when we moved in, we were in for just a couple of months, a tree the size of a branch the size of a car came crashing down into the yard.
Yeah.
And these trees are right up against two houses. I'm like, we better start from scratch again.
Yeah. But I can't imagine it's changed a whole lot. I mean, some where he went to go look at this, but.
And all the trees out in front of the house.
Right, exactly.
This is an active city street, and there are trees in the goddamn street.
Right.
It's just cool to see that.
We have got to get Stallone. We talked to him years ago, but we got to get him on sometime. I know that usually when films are shooting, it's impossible to get interviews.
The same with Carl Weathers. He needs to know how. I don't know why he needs to know.
Yeah.
How underrated I think a writer and a director he is, because he's doing another Rambo film, and I contend that last Rambo film is just a terrific movie.
You think at least once a week Rocky gets referenced on our show?
Yes. Yeah, and 10 at times least. More. Yeah.
Listen, I'm on the board of the Greater Philadelphia Film Office. Why haven't I done anything about that?
Because it's all a scam.
No. I got it. Sharon Pinkinson?
Yes.
Get Stallone on the phone for us.
Well, they put you
in the studio.
The adult film division. Can you exert that?
I was wondering M. Night Shyamalan might have in there.
I don't know.
With Rocky?
Yeah.
You know what? We will get bagels if he shows up.
Okay, I promise.
And such.
Did you say, is that bagels?
Yeah. We'll get everything bagels.
With a nut and a schmear?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, when I send out a pitch, that's part of it.
Yeah,
all the accommodations, and we can accommodate their needs.
It would be fantastic. And the Creed stuff is great. I'd like to see, do you want any more, you know, Rocky movies? Because I think Rocky Balboa was such a good
finale. There's a moment at the very, very end, and this is not giving away the ending of the film.
He gets in the spaceship.
No, if you've never seen.
My work here on Earth is done.
If you've never seen Rocky Balboa, there's a moment where he kind of, they kind of blur him in the background.
Yeah.
The visual is it blurs, and then he kind of disappears. And I just thought that was them saying goodbye to the character forever. And it was a really sweet, wonderful way to do it. But in Creed, the way they bring it back makes sense. And I've told Casey this before, miraculously, even though he's not boxing in it, and I'm not going to give anything away because you haven't seen Creed, they find another way for Rocky to fight.
Yeah.
To actually have.
It's awesome.
Almost kind of another training montage.
Yeah, yeah.
And a way for him to fight. I'm like, this is brilliant. I absolutely loved it.
I hadn't seen it until recently, and you guys were talking about it, and I loved it as well. It took me a while to get onto the Rocky Balboa train as well, and then when I eventually did. Eventually, when I did, I came around. But what they've been able to do is make good movies again, not just good stories about Rocky,
engaging.
Yeah,
not just extravaganza movies.
Right.
I just had a great idea with what you just said, Nick. What if Rocky Balboa, if Stallone replaced Tom Hanks in Polar Express?
Oh, yeah.
Who wants to go visit Santa?
Yeah.
You kids like hot chocolate?
Yes.
We're drinking hot chocolate. Oh,
man. The Balboa train.
The Balboa. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Hey, look at Santa. Look at the sack on Santa. Holy hell.
All right, this person doesn't like Stallone. Texted in, said Rocky's overrated. It came out in a time where there was a lull in good movies. Let's retire that awful disco song. Stallone is a half-wit. He can only play one character. They should have just called it Rambo. They should have called Rambo Rocky in the Woods.
Well, you're just trying to be inflammatory. You know, but it's okay, and you are allowed to know nothing.
No, it's...
No, what it is... he's right, or she is right, in the fact that it captured a nostalgic return to just genuine good filmmaking.
Yeah.
It deserves its praise.
Yeah.
And absolutely. It's such, but also the fact that it was made the way it was made. It was guerrilla filmmaking. A lot of times they did not have
permits
to be where they were. Yeah. It was the first movie to also to employ Steadicam photography.
It was groundbreaking technology.
Hey, I'm sorry, quick plot question. What happened to Rocky's girlfriend from Balboa to Creed?
I ate her.
Okay.
they weren't boyfriend girlfriend. They were just friends.
Friends.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was more.
Yeah, in fact, he was more paternal to her.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, and don't know. You know, they didn't address that.
Yeah, she hung herself. She died in a gurning accident. Okay.
Theme going.
I warned you about that with the lower lip.
I would love to know what the other nominees were for Best Picture that year. Just to
76?
Yeah. Because I know, like, 75 was Jaws, right?
You were in the height of what is considered the second golden era of Hollywood films.
Yeah, so for that
person you look at the Godfather. Yeah. Godfather movies were in the 70s. You know, some of Coppola's greatest work was in the 70s. Scorsese's work. So they weren't, so, you know, fly-by-night films.
Nick is pulling up.
Came out in 76, but won in 77.
There you go. So Taxi Driver, Network, Bound for Glory, and All the President's Men.
Oh, my God. Yeah, really disposable films.
Yeah, right, exactly. A lull, like that clown said.
Wow.
Network, by the way, one. If you've never seen Network, if you watch it now, it will look... They're making these outlandish, purposely outlandish claims about what television is going to become, and it's become far worse.
Absolutely.
With reality shows and all that stuff.
Same thing with Running Man.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Climbing for dollars.
Mm-hmm.
All right, anyhow, somebody get a hold of Sly. Tell him, put us in touch with him.
And mention bagels.
We will have bagels, I promise you. With Schmear.
With Schmear. With Schmear.
Yeah, that's right.
With Axe and Bagels.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow, we need to take a break and we need to give something away. I'm going to give away some tickets for some ladies to join us for a little happy hour, a cocktail hour, if you will, at Parks Casino. And it's a Preston and Steve sorority happy hour at Parks Casino. It's a week from tomorrow, Thursday, May 17th, 6:30 to 7:30 in the 360 Lounge at Parks. Oh, and by the way, everyone who comes is going to get a pair of tickets to see Dennis Miller that night. At the brand new Excite Center.
I love Dennis Miller. Casino.
It is that night, right?
It's that night. You go right from the happy hour and you see a show with one of the best comedians working.
All right, so let's take three. No, make that five.
Whoa.
Ladies, you have to be at least 21 years of age to go. 215-263-WMMR, our sisters. Let's get on board. And happy hour includes a buffet, and your first drink is on us. You have to be at least 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll be back in just a moment. We got an announcement on the way that I think you are going to appreciate. We'll get to that when we come back. And details about Mother's Day. Jackson's going to be joining us in a little while, too. We'll be back in a second.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
This Mother's Day, brighten Mom's Day with a Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa gift card. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, including the Lehigh Valley.
Celebrate all the sweet loves in your life with Stephen's brand new Sweet Love 24-karat gold dip rose for just $59. It's a beautiful lavender rose that reminds your sweet love just how much they mean to you. Don't miss out. Get yours now at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We have an announcement.
Yeah!
And I'm going to do this in kind of a multi-level. First, I'm going to tell you what the announcement is, and then I'm going to give you the specifics. So it's like a double announcer.
Right, I think I'm going to break out both bells for this one.
Okay, I think you should. So, Case, I'll need a little fanfare, and then we're going to have our music for the official specific details of this. But We're happy to bring it back. Always exciting to do this. It's the return of Preston and Steve's Philly's hottest competition. Yeah! So that is announcement number one. And
that was amazing.
Wasn't that amazing? But here's where I really wanted to have some fanfare, because with Philly's hottest, we always like to have a theme that we have ladies take pictures, and it falls into the theme and so on and so forth.
It can sometimes be seasonal. It can
it's
be
been hair color. It's been hobbies. It's yes. been various outfits and things like that. So we are very we had flirted with the idea of doing this, and we're finally going to do it. So Philly's hottest this time around is Daisy Dukes and Cowboy Boo. So that is what the theme is. Daisy Dukes and cowboy boots.
It's a classic look.
It's a very hot look.
It's a wonderful look. We actually asked a number of women what they thought. They think it's a home run.
And we have a very apropos set of sponsors for this.
Yes.
For giveaways, which
perfect.
Is really cool. So the winner is going to get $1,000 cash from Cowtown Cowboy Outfitters. Yay. And Cowtown Rodeo.
Very nice.
Isn't that awesome?
It's perfect.
And we have representatives of both of those places yeah! in our studio this morning. Yeah, thank you for that yeehaw, son. That was a good yeehaw. A
damn good yeehaw.
Give me that one more time. Come on.
Yeehaw! That's good.
That's actually outstanding.
Thank
David.
You.
Yeah.
Can you do the
No.
I'll do that then.
Yes. I'll be the yeehaw and you be yeah. the
We also have over $1,000 in jewelry and gift cards from Steven Singer Jewelers.
Well, that's amazing.
A professional photo shoot by the lovely Allison Dunlap of Allison Dunlap Photography.
She's phenomenal.
All right, so here are the specifics. You need to be at least 18 years of age to enter. And if you want to submit, you click contest at WMMR.com and submit your info and your five photos. So that's how many you have to have in this, and up to five.
Submit five.
In fact, you have to have five yeah. photos.
Well, it gives you a better option, too, because, you know, they will curate and pick the best pictures and give you the best shot.
Yep. So five photos is what we need from you. The deadline to enter is Wednesday, May 23rd. So what we'd like to do, since it's already a little after 9 o'clock, there may be people who have missed out on the announcement. Spread the word. If you know somebody who you think has a shot at winning this contest, let them know about
yes,
it.
Yes, please.
All right, and it's from Cowtown Cowboy Outfitters. For all your Western wear needs, go to cowtowncowboy.com and Cowtown Rodeo, the best show on dirt. You can visit cowtownrodeo.com.
Yeah! Hey, if you don't have the appropriate attire for a shoot, you might want to check them out
get
everything you need.
CowtownCowboy.com.
Right.
You can do that, yeah.
So we haven't done a Philly's Hottest in a while, and if you're new to these contests, you mentioned the five photos. Make them five good photos.
Yes.
Crop properly.
Not a hangover.
I'm not exaggerating. We've had shots with toilets in the background.
Yeah.
Don't have that. Have a friend come over, take the pictures for you, you know, and this is a Philly's Hottest contest. You want to look good, and you want the photos to look good.
And be aware that these contests serve a great purpose as well for us, because we will a lot of times meet the people who eventually end up in the calendar. And the calendar ends up being a big thing that we do to help with the Camp Out for Hunger, and it's a big charity drive here at the station, so it all feeds right into each other.
Hey, by the way, what were Daisy Dukes called before the Dukes of Hazzard?
That's a good question. Just cutoffs.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's what we always called them.
Shorts, Daisy Dukes are from, yeah.
No, we just always called them cutoffs, but I mean, there wasn't a name for the really short ones that a girl might wear, but they're
Joan Rivers.
They're just jeans that you just cut off.
I mean, I've got to imagine that there are a number of women out there that wear Daisy Dukes, call them Daisy Dukes, and have no idea who Daisy Duke is.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'll tell you what, though. There's a thing, and it was at Coachella where it was, you were seeing it a lot. Yeah. Super high cut is the big thing right now.
Yeah, like denim underwear.
And we like that. So would qualify as Daisy Dukes.
Absolutely.
If they're made of denim and they're short, they're Daisy Dukes.
Don't want to see Luke Dukes. Don't want to see Bo Dukes.
No.
Boss Hoggs.
Cooter will take.
Cooter will take.
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Remember the name of Daisy's Jeep?
It was the Dixie.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I remember they actually had model. Remember they used to have model kits of the General Lee. Aurora had them, I think.
Sure,
Revelle.
Of course.
And it was they also had the
Dixie.
The Dixie, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm sure.
It was a Jeep.
I'm sure they had Boss Hogg's big white Cadillac, too.
Yeah.
With, the, with the horns on the front.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, who do you call? Guy who listens to
the
our
show. The Cootamobile?
No, the guy who listens to our show.
Bill
has
Lambing. Lambing.
Bill Lambing. He has, with the General Lee. Does he also have the Roscoe P. Coltrane car?
The cop
he
car?
He might.
One of, one of his friends does.
No, it's goo, goo, goo,
goo, goo, goo, goo, goo.
That's it. Right. Oh, and by the way, and in the pictures, no anus.
No.
We don't see any. We see
we'll Photoshop it out.
No anus allowed.
Yeah, no, no brown anus.
I'm here to do. I'm going to go bleach my anus.
Anus and
you guys glad you signed up for it?
Yeah. Cooter and anus.
At the double L.
Oh, man.
All right, so Daisy Dukes and cowboy boots. That is the, that's what we got this time around. So details at WMMR.com. Man, we grew up, my family was a little bit rednecky when I was a kid. So we, cutoffs were just a standard thing for me.
I love the look. I
wore them all the time.
You did cutoff shorts?
Me, yeah, absolutely.
Daisy Dukes?
No, not Daisy Dukes, just cutoffs.
Oh, okay.
I mean, just take a pair of jeans that were worn out and you were done with them.
You convert them.
And you just cut them off the, and shorts, made them into shorts.
Well, they look good on girls. I don't know.
They were standard procedure when I was a kid. I was not some anomaly running around with...
hipsters will wear cutoffs. Hipster guys will wear cutoffs, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Is it a thing now?
I'm not really...
Kathy,
you
know. For guys? Yeah. I don't think so.
Did you see the extreme jeans, that picture that came out last week?
It's literally, it's just like threads.
It's ridiculous. What it is, essentially, are the seams that you have
and
on
the pockets.
Side of the jeans.
Yeah.
And that's it. And the pockets. So they cut out everything else except for the seams running down the side. They had a little bit on at the knee.
Did you saw it, Kathy?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's dumb.
Yeah.
It's stupid. And Kathy, they're $200.
Shut up.
For like a bathing suit.
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
Those are $200.
Looking at a picture of them. $200.
And people actually buy those?
Yes.
Somebody will buy them.
I don't
know. I do like the look. It depends on who's wearing it, though.
What, that
Ruth
look?
Bader Ginsburg, you would not want to see in those. But, it depends.
Yeah. Anyway.
$200.
Daisy Dukes, cowboy boots. Get on
love
it. Get
it.
Those pictures in. We would love to see them. What did I see? Oh, hey, I saw this. A Delaware County town is the second most dangerous in the United States.
All right. Yeah.
You already win.
Yeah.
Second all place, right. though, man.
Delco.
Wow. You could do better than that.
Wait, Casey, do you know what it is?
Yeah, I do. You know what?
He's looking at it.
I mean, I obviously, when I saw the headline, I was thinking it was a different place, but
okay.
But I know this place. I'm very
Darby.
Darby.
Oh. Darby Borough.
Yeah. Is Paula Brown... You guys remember her? She was the mayor who was always in the news.
Yeah.
She's not still the mayor of that place, is she?
I don't know.
There was always some sort of controversy.
Was there?
Yeah. So is Camden in there? Because was Camden number one? For
so
a
here's
while
the
there?
Here's the I'll give you the, there are two other local areas that are on the list, and Camden is not one of them. This is the top 25 most dangerous American cities.
All right,
according to a report done by the National Council for Home Safety and Security.
So this is if you're planning your summer vacation.
Yeah, if you're planning your summer vacation, you may want to stop by at number 14 and spend some time in Chester City.
Oh. Chester.
It's another one in Delaware County.
I've actually spent a lot of time in Chester because I do work with City Team in Chester, and you know, it's like a homeless shelter. It's they help people rebounding from substance abuse problems and stuff like
that's
that.
Very so nice.
I do stuff with those guys, and I mean, they're trying. You know,
they're caroling there too, as well. Yes.
Well, no, but we we deliver Christmas presents, Easter dinners, Easter baskets, Thanksgiving dinners, and stuff like that.
Kudos
to
you.
There's a street in Chester. A police officer told me about it once. I had never heard of it, but that they won't even go down the street unless they have backup. Yeah. Like just to even drive, patrol it. If they get a call, one person doesn't go. There a couple of them have to go.
Wow. I mean, it's because of delivering these things to people's houses, and we do it at like 8-9 o'clock in the morning, so it's, you know, somewhat safe. It's, you know, you went down the one street and I was like delivering presents to one house, and it's a row home, and like the house right next door to it was just completely blown out, and
yeah,
you're like, oh man. And then when we were delivering Easter,
for sale,
we were doing Easter baskets this year. The very first house I went to, I have to go knock up, make sure they're there.
Yeah,
I go to knock up at the house, and there's two women smoking a blunt on the front stoop, and I'm like, I go back to my wife.
Happy
and go,
Easter.
Well, I said, we can't bring the kids. You know, I said, you guys stay here. I'll bring the baskets back. You know. But
yeah.
At 8 o'clock in the morning.
Number 14 on the list. Or I'm sorry.
Number 14 of the most dangerous cities in the country.
Well, that's Chester City, but number 25, the bottom of the list is Atlantic City.
All right.
So that's the only other area that's in our general vicinity.
Atlantic City's always had a bit of a reputation in certain areas.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. Anything off of the boardwalk starts to get a little bit hairy.
But, I mean, you've known, like, Chester and Darby, right?
Well, I'm surprised at Darby, to tell you the truth. I knew it was, you know, my buddy Jeff, whose farts we play on the air all the time. Yes. Yeah, his...
That's him.
That's him. His mom grew up in Darby, so, you know, years ago...
Well, that nails it.
Notable people from Darby, PA.
She was just no good.
W.C. Fields and Chris Wheeler, as well as Jeff LaBar, rock guitarist for Cinderella.
Oh, wow.
They call them...
Was Pat's Chili Dogs over that way?
Pat's Chili Dogs!
Folsom. But guys from Darby call themselves Darbarians.
Darbarians.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
I like that.
It's actually great. Actually. Very Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so.
There's, you know, Targaryens. There's every area, though, you know, it just depends. You know,
no, it does, and they found that in Darby Borough, which has an approximate population of 11,000 people, the crime rate is 3,617 per every 100,000 people. But there's only 11,000 people there, so
that means each person's committing 11,000 crimes.
I guess it means that.
My math is not very good.
Exactly. but they found, and very little surprise, but little job growth correlated to the higher rates of homicides and other types of violent crime in the air. So it's poverty. High poverty rates and little job growth. So you're poor and you don't have much opportunity.
Also, there are areas where our show does not come in particularly strong. The people become despondent and start getting violent.
Remember Karen, who used to work downstairs? I don't know what happened to her at Manja. She was from Darby. You guys remember Karen?
I don't remember.
She was here not too long ago.
Okay.
Really I do not. Woman.
Mm. Yeah. So anyhow, made it on the list.
Do they have the list of the safest?
I don't have the list of safest. I don't know. I also don't have number one. I don't know what number one is on.
Oh, come on. Was there a big ceremony?
I don't know.
A star-studded gala where they present the number one most dangerous city?
Yeah. Hey, Kath, so, you know, you mentioned a street in Chester that, you know, even the cops won't go down. Like, you know, when I was in the Grand Canyon this past summer. No, but there are sections of Utah with these Mormons where, you know, you don't go anywhere near that if you're not a fundamentalist, and it's dangerous, and you know, like the one guy was telling me he got a flat tire on the side of the road, and he was there for people were driving past him, people, you know, paid no attention to him because he wasn't one of them. Really,
what do you mean people are driving past him instead of helping him?
Yeah.
But they weren't running him out of town, though.
No, but you will. I mean, you'll
really?
Get... Yeah.
Or they'll make you marry lots of people. We'll fix your tire, but you got to marry five more women.
Right. All right, anyhow, I thought that was kind of interesting.
It is interesting, but tonight... Oh, wait, is this it, Preston? No. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, East St. Louis.
There you go.
That's number one.
Little flash of home.
Yeah.
Well, that's Illinois.
Well, it's right across the river from St. Louis, Missouri. So I've always said East St. Louis is Camden. You know, the large city is right there across the river. It's a poor, you know, it's a poverty-stricken town.
It's where Negan was born.
There's a lot of crime. Was he? I don't remember. I've forgotten if Negan brought up his roots or not.
They end up in Vacation when he's like, roll them up?
I think it was North St. Louis.
Okay.
I think it was in East St. Louis, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they flashed that on the screen.
So it goes to, you ever heard of Opa-locka, Florida? I haven't.
No. That's where the Oompa Loompas come from.
That's number three on the list.
Opa-locka?
Florida City, Florida.
Florida's there's some dicey areas of Florida.
Oh, kidding
me,
man.
The stories.
Yeah.
Listen, my mom and sister live in St. Petersburg.
And they run with a gang.
No, you don't have to drive too far before you start to see. And it's sad because when you drive through poor areas, I immediately start to feel unsafe.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Because, I mean, we're suburbanites.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, or some of us are. And it's you get used to this comfort. And then when you see... really close housing and a lot of it and a lot of people out walking around on the street that you don't know. And it's like you start to feel a little uncomfortable.
So in my area, like Mount Airy, I walk around. There's a number of areas like that. And it's wonderful. You know, like and you get great interaction with people. It's funny, though, because you look at like some areas where there's rampant drug abuse. It's going to be in the suburban areas where you would never expect it, like opioid stuff and all
that.
Yeah. It's
Yeah, but the difference is violent crime.
Violent crime, violent exactly. Crime. Yeah.
Yeah. So Flint, Michigan, then Detroit, Michigan.
Okay, so Connor Barwin's from Detroit, Michigan.
There's three in a row. Flint, Detroit, and then Saginaw County, Saginaw City.
And then Michigan. I believe Todd Herrmann's is from Saginaw. Well, he at least went to Saginaw State.
Okay. It's clearly a connection between pro football and crime.
Right.
I'm just saying, you know, we have friends that are from these areas.
College Park, Georgia, Pritchard, Alabama.
Never heard of it.
And this, and then West Memphis, Arkansas.
I've been there.
West Memphis?
West Memphis, yeah. You cross the river, you go across the Mississippi and from Memphis and end up in West Memphis. And there was that famous murder trial a few years back from the West Memphis, Memphis 3. But as soon as you get over the river into that part of Arkansas, it's among the most poverty-stricken places in the country.
Wow.
Very sad.
We went to Franklin Square on Saturday night. They had the Lantern Festival right there. It was really, really great. And, you know, you're talking about us being suburbanites and, you know, my kids living a fairly sheltered life. I mean, we were an old city. We were at Independence Mall, and my 8-year-old was scared.
Really?
Yes, because we were in the city, and it was dark out, and she was nervous.
I understand. I know what you're saying. I was walking through the city, very safe part of the city yesterday. But when you're not used to, you know, open, when you're not used to enclosed spaces and buildings on either side,
claustrophobic
It feels a little bit strange. Yeah, you feel a little bit cornered. Yeah. You're not used to that.
I was walking through the city yesterday, fully naked, punching people. I was scared.
You were scared?
Yeah.
I understand. It's just, what if they punch you back?
Yeah, that's true. What if I meet someone worse? No, there are a lot of people who just feel pent up, claustrophobic, cannot stand going into the city.
Yep.
And they do not like the hustle and bustle. It really gets them quickly.
Especially the bustle.
Especially the bustle.
Come on, man.
In your hedgerow.
Yeah. All right, there's something completely different I wanted to bring up real quick, and this will steer away from that, and instead of thinking about crime and so forth, how about vacation? How about this? This is a little bit over the top. Viking Cruises.
Viking Cruises.
Oh, my cousin's on one right now.
Where's he going?
Well, they are going, I believe, so they're flying into Germany, and they're going from there. So I don't necessarily know exactly where
they're going.
Up the Rhine, probably.
Oh, so they're doing a river cruise.
That's what a lot of the Viking ones are.
And kids go for free, right?
I don't know. But listen to this. The Viking Cruises are launching the longest continuous world cruise itinerary in history. It's called the new Ultimate World Cruise. And it will travel. You will be on this boat for 245 days.
Wow.
Planning your summer vacation.
Wow, I haven't heard that in a while.
That's not a good idea. They're going to get sick. They're going to, like, there's.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. At some point.
Yeah.
Well, over that amount of time, that's the majority of a year.
There are.
You're going to have a bad experience.
You've reported on, and some retirees will do it. You basically buy a condo on a cruise ship.
You know what? Yeah. We did mention that a while back.
And you basically go to all the area. You are basically always traveling. So my wife just did the Rhine River thing with the. It was one of those long flat cruise boats.
Yeah.
She loved it because your hotel is traveling with you. All the cities you'd want to go to obviously form along the river.
Yeah, right. Think about a normal 256-day haul. You get sick at some point,
that's
right?
I was going to say, anything that happens on a cruise ship or not. I
mean, or in your life.
But, I mean, like, we always hear the stories about, you know, food poisoning or some sort of virus going around. It's going to happen. Within 200 days, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, it's just a lot of few days for diarrhea, and you're good to go.
So this 8-month journey. Will visit 6 continents.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have a price on there?
59 countries, 113 ports. It departs from London on August 31st of 2019, but you have the option to sail one or two shorter segments during the voyage as well.
What are the shorter segments going for?
I don't know.
So we're talking, do they visit a lot of state fairs, things like that?
I would imagine they do things like that, but some of the top destinations on the voyage will visit Egypt.
Egypt.
Ho Chi Minh City, London, Mumbai, Rio de Janeiro, Tasmania, among others. That actually sounds pretty cool.
It sounds awesome.
That's seeing the world.
Yeah, and I wonder if they plan it so that you are at certain places at certain times, right? So you're in Rio during Carnival. And
I think it's just where you end up.
Yeah.
The captain just spins the wheel and let's see where you end up.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know. But
yeah, where you're in line with festivals and things like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe.
If they're worth a damn. Did they give a dollar amount? They don't.
No, that's what I was wondering.
Those things, they're not going to give a dollar amount. You have to call for that.
Probably.
You know, like, they're not going to put it out there.
$100. That's why we don't post it, because everyone would do it. It's so incredible.
No, the, that's too much. I get antsy. I get antsy on on super long vacations.
Steve,
it's not bad.
Yeah, but what if you retired? Like, what if you retired, you said this leaves in August or whatever, you retire in July, and then boom. That's what you're doing afterwards.
Look at that price.
It's $92,990 per person.
So take
what's that? I want to know what that is per night.
Convert it to what like a regular, like a week cruise, and see how that does that keep pace with what the regular is. It a discount? Right, what if you have a coupon
divided by seven?
Two shorter 119 day journeys.
I can't be out for 249 days. I'll do the 119 day one.
Right, so if this is 245 days, it's $379 a night, which really, in the grand scheme of things, is not that awful.
If it includes your food and all of that,
if your meals, it's just days, Nick. It's no nights.
Oh,
it's days and nights. It's 24 hour periods.
With your meals included.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's.
No meals included.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, what's a room at the Four Seasons in Philly for a night? You know, it's probably comparable to $379, and you're not getting a meal at the Four Seasons. So.
And as Kathy says, everyone's going to be very sick all the time. Yeah. So there you have that.
Crapping and throwing up.
Booze would have to be included.
I would hope so.
But just no way it will.
No.
What's that, Steve?
How much is the booed?
I know, I said booed. Booed and booze. Right.
So it's essentially like a $2,600 bucks a week or something like that?
Did you do that in your head?
Yes, I did.
$26,000 a week?
$2,600.
No. Oh.
$2,600 a week? Would you say $345 a day?
I don't know. Listen, this could be economical if the math figures out. Nick, do you have a calculator at the ready?
I just did the math, man.
Yeah. How much?
$379 a day.
Is that for sure?
Yes. Prove it.
Yeah, go back and listen to the podcast. Prove it.
That's not bad.
It's
not bad.
If you're gonna, like Kathy said, if you're gonna retire for a year and you want to spend this amount of money over an entire stretch, it's not economical, but it's not extravagant.
Well, how much is it a day?
So $379. I mean, you're talking about that's cheaper than a hotel room in New York City,
and it's probably not your hotel room in the city's not floating.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Good point.
By the way. Why we should have a ship hotel here, right along the waterfront? Remember they had that the United States. They were talking about converting that ship.
Oh, to actually take
like the Queen Mary.
And, that'd be pretty cool,
you know.
Yeah, they never did do anything with the United States.
It's still there, right?
Still sitting there, I believe. Yeah,
haunted.
It's supposed to be very haunted.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you believe in that,
I believe.
I believe.
I believe. God.
I believe. All right. Anyhow, if you're interested, this is from Viking Cruises, 245-day long ultimate world cruise.
That's amazing.
Yep, absolutely.
Like $700 a day. I mean, yeah.
Speaking of amazing, we made an announcement a little while ago, and it's for Philly's Hottest. We are we're reigniting that, and the category this time around is Daisy Dukes and Cowboy Boots. So we want to see you in those outfits, ladies, and the winner of that particular contest gets $1,000 cash from Cowtown Cowboy Outfitters and Cowtown Rodeo, and over $1,000 in jewelry and gift cards from Steven Singer Jewelers, and a professional photo shoot by Allison Dunlap Photography. You have to be at least 18. To submit, click the contest at WMMR.com to submit your info and 5 photos. The deadline to enter is Wednesday, May 23rd. That is from Cowtown Cowboy Outfitters. For all your Western wear needs, go to CowtownCowboy.com and Cowtown Rodeo, the best show on dirt. Visit CowtownRodeo.com. We are going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Got some B-File stories to run by you. Stay there.
93.3 WMMR announces the next installment of our series of fan-friendly, private, and free concerts. Wednesday, June 6th, it's Pierre Presents Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats. I'm gonna leave it all out and dry. Join us for this invitation-only noontime event at Ardmore Music Hall. Son of a bitch! Give me a drink! Win your way in, on the air with Pierre, or at Ticket Raids. Get details and schedule at WMMR.com. Pierre Presents Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats from Ardmore Music Hall and 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Thanks, Kathy. And another real quick thanks. Steve and I wanted to throw out there to a little launching party that we went to.
Yes.
Last night in Manayunk. And thank you to Eddie at this publication, Philly Current.
Yes.
Nice little coffee table book that he puts out.
It's really nice.
And they had a gathering last night at the Manayunk Tavern. And so we had some cocktails and met with a bunch of people that were there. Some of the other people are featured in this particular issue. It's a great little magazine.
It was really a good time, and it was better than I, I thought it was going to be a little bit more, just a couple of people, but a lot of people turned out. It was a beautiful evening.
And it was Attack of the Beautiful People, too. Like, Steve and I were the monsters there. Yeah,
people actually, they had us in a pen, and people were able to purchase fruit and throw it at us.
Yeah, really good-looking people that were there.
Who was there? Gina
from 6ABC. Gina does traffic. Yes, Gina Gannon.
Didn't get to meet her, but she's gorgeous.
I didn't either. I saw her across the room.
She's so nice.
I feel uncomfortable approaching people that good-looking.
Well, you know what? I was telling you, I thought she looked like a very hot Kristen Wiig.
Yeah.
And I was like,
gorgeous.
And but there was a whole bunch of people, just very pleasant, nice people. Marilyn Russell, as you said.
Gorgeous.
And
yeah, Marilyn Russell was there. It was really, really nice to see her. I posted a picture of us last night. And the girl, I got to thank the ladies at, what is it?
Pineapple on Main.
What is that?
Manayunk. I was doing some shopping in town, and it's just a shop that's got a lot of things for ladies. There was I was trying to explain to Kathy.
Scents
and wild bottles and blankets.
Yeah. You can rub this on your nipples.
Oh, no, not that.
Keeps it from getting chafed.
But those girls were awesome. They were gorgeous, too. They're really, really nice.
Yeah, they're really nice.
Really, really pleasant people. And I was pissed off because I didn't think it was going to be like that. And so many people there, like, are friends with my wife. I was like, oh, damn it. So, I'm going to go. If they invite me to the next one, I have to go because it's a lot of people that we know.
And it was a lot of fun.
Felt comfortable, yeah.
Yeah, and the bartenders were cool at the tavern, so thank you guys. And I went in, I did a little shopping in Manayunk. I haven't shopped in Manayunk in ages.
What were you buying?
I was getting some stuff for Mother's Day. Ooh. So, but anyway, I went into another shop, and I don't remember the names of places.
The Scrunchy Fumple. People.
No, there was a really, really nice girl named Meredith who worked there, and she helped me out, and she listens to the show, and she saw this copy of Philly Current, and so that was cool. And I also popped in Main Street Music.
Yes.
And
great record store.
Saw the gang there, and Pierre's got something that he has to pick up that I need to tell him.
Tell him about.
And they said to tell you hi, and I picked up three. I can buy records now.
Yes, you have a record player.
Yeah. I got Outlandish D'Amour, Zenyatta Mandata, and Ghost in the Machine.
Wow. Awesome. Oh, your sons are going to go crazy.
I'm set, man.
There's a great furniture store on Main Street as well. It's kind of across the street from where Restoration Hardware used to be.
Yeah.
Really, really. But it's all it's not mass produced stuff.
There's no, actually, we purchased a number of things from it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for a coffee table.
Yeah.
All that stuff. And if you go into the basement of that place, there's about 250,000 couches.
Really?
A lot of people don't know that there's another whole level to that place. I'm a Manayunk for many years.
That was a good time. Oh, and also, I was in the city before that, and I walked by a place called Big Gay Ice Cream.
Ah.
You been there, Marissa?
It through a hole in the bathroom, right?
I wasn't in the mood for ice cream, so I didn't stop and get any, but has that been there for a while?
Maybe like 2 years.
Okay.
Really good, but you can also they sell pints and Wawa now.
Is it really good?
A Big Gay Ice Cream?
Yeah.
All right, I'll have to try some.
Really fun, like unicorn names and flavors and stuff like that.
Yeah, they had a unicorn on the front of the building.
I'm on board.
So it was a beautiful day to be out walking around yesterday.
I'm glad
I strolled through Manayunk because it's so gorgeous.
Everything comes alive when this happens. It's a great city for that, Manayunk and the different areas.
Yeah. My son plays baseball, and I was out on the field last night. It was just amazing. So great, in fact, that I told a sixth grade boy that I love him by accident.
In your car?
Yeah.
We could have skipped that.
Remember, this is our secret.
We have until 54.
This kid came in from the field, and I was trying to be supportive and tell him that I love the way he plays, and I said, I love you. And then I was like, why did you just say that?
I love you in a physical way. Why did I say that?
Okay. We have until 9:54 to do the Bizarre File. Our sponsorship requirements.
That was pretty bizarre, so that was like the start of it.
And I should just wrap it up right there.
All right,
now let's do this.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by the LLS Big Climb Philly. You can join Nick and Team Luke on May 19th and Casey. Love sixth graders. During the... LLS Big Climb Philly. Climb 46 floors to the top of FMC Tower to support the fight against blood cancer. Visit BigClimbPhilly.org/Team Luke. A family of raccoons made a wild entrance when they actually crashed through a ceiling and landed in a Michigan homeowner's living room.
Could you imagine if you're sitting there and a whole bunch of raccoons?
Kathy,
you had a raccoon living in your house.
No, it was a possum.
Emergency crews responded after receiving a 911 call. A mother raccoon and her baby somehow broke through the ceiling and tumbled down, landing on an upholstered chair. A man who lives there told emergency crews that he heard a loud crash before finding the raccoons. The Department of Public Safety released video on Saturday of crews working to safely remove them. A lieutenant said that he was bit despite wearing safety gloves and received rabies shots as a precaution. Their efforts were ultimately successful thanks to a dog catch pole and a live trap. And the mama raccoon and her babies were released back into the wild.
They can be cantankerous. They can be sweet. But they are so effing cute.
They're cute.
They have those hands. Yep.
A Florida woman was arrested on Friday after cops say she falsely called 911 claiming a medical emergency when actually she just wanted some beer. It turns out that Jennifer Sue Roberts' emergency was the need for some beverages. The 57-year-old called 911 twice just after 12 noon and then just before 4 p.m. claiming that she had a medical emergency.
We have a crisis situation here.
Roberts reportedly appeared intoxicated when paramedics arrived at the second call. Records seemingly indicate Roberts, who also reportedly goes by Jennifer Sue Sunday, has been accused numerous times of dialing 911 without an emergency.
I don't have a car.
A mother and her two children, this is a horrible story, are dead following an accident on Interstate 95 in South Carolina that happened after a car struck an alligator in the middle of the road.
What kills me about this, first off, just the actual accident itself is bizarre, but it's South Carolina.
They do get gators from time to time on rare occasions. And that's probably where they hit it. They didn't, you know, it just weren't expecting something like that. The driver of the 2011 Kia Soul truck struck the alligator. Amber Stanley, along with her 4-year-old son and 2-year-old daughter, all died. It says thermal injuries. They burned to death. It's horrible.
Oh, my God.
The car investigator said ran off the left side of the road, hit a tree, and caught on fire. Okay, we can't end with that. That's absolutely horrible. All right, we'll end with this story. Did you guys catch this? Hipster chefs have a reputation for going too far from science lab style lattes to others. There are some ridiculous inventions, and sometimes there's plenty of outrage. World leaders are not immune to the plague of hipster food presentation. Israeli leader Benjamin Netanyahu has been slammed over the inappropriate dessert served to Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and his wife at his home during a recent trip to Israel. More specifically, for the quirky choice of a bowl for these sweets that were served, it was a leather shoe.
A leather shoe?
Actually, it wasn't a real leather shoe, but it looked like a leather shoe, and it was served in that. And Japanese diplomats, Israeli foreign ministry officials, and high-ranking Israeli diplomats who had served in Japan previously were shocked by the idea.
So it wasn't a shoe, it just looked like a shoe.
Yeah, it was a sculpture, but it looked like it. But the Israeli officials said there's no culture in the world where you put a shoe on the table.
You give me food in a shoe?
We can't understand what he was trying to say here. If it's humor, then we don't think it's funny. I can tell you that we are offended on behalf of our prime minister.
You innocent us.
There is nothing lowlier than a shoe in Japanese culture.
Can you put the more ice cream in my shoe?
Not only do they not wear shoes at home, you also won't find shoes in their offices. This is a disrespect of the first order, they said.
I thought it was an off the charts when you serve a hummus in a bra.
But the chef said that it was art and food combined, basically.
Yeah. So. You got to be aware of what the culture dictates.
Yeah. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a second. And I need a number caller for the secret text word, Kathy. Give me it. Give me.
7.
Caller 721-5263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the secret text word. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve.
On 93.3 WMMR.
It is the Preston and Steve Show. We had requested that someone call in who might be privy to a specific word. That would be our secret text word. Kathy said caller number 7. What Kathy says, I do. That's all there is to it. So
again, that whole sexual harassment thing.
I know. Yes. I need to crack the whip. I'm going to go to caller number 7, and that is Goldie. Hello there, Goldie.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We are awesome, Goldie. Did you text in earlier?
Yes, I did.
Then you should know the secret text word. What is it?
It's leather.
It is leather.
Yeah! Absolutely correct.
And so, Goldie, I don't know. Just, to me, you sound like an Insane Clown Posse fan. I just picked that up from you. So we're going to give you some tickets to go and see not only them, but also the band that's playing right now. This is, who the hell is this?
Limp Bizkit. Bizkit, yeah.
And Avenged Sevenfold and Papa Roach and Skillet and Gwar and all these crazy bands. A hardcore show
that's
we're talking
awesome.
About. Yeah, so Rock Allegiance 2018. Congratulations, okay?
Thank you so much.
You bet. Hang on. We'll get your information. We're also going to give tickets to Janelle Schenck, who's from Reading, PA, and she's going to get to go, so we'll take care of her. And don't forget the tickets for the show, which is October 6th, the BB&T Pavilion, and also the Wiggins Waterfront Park, are going on sale Friday at noon through Ticketmaster.com. But if you're MMR VIP, look at your inbox right now, because you will have received the special code that you're going to need to get in on our presale, which takes place at noon today. So make sure that you do that.
Check. I love that. By the way, if you do become a VIP, if you do sign up, you're not bombarded with stuff, but you get cool stuff like this.
Yeah, it's only when it counts.
Only when it counts.
Yes. That we will send you stuff. So check that today. All right, let's do our stuff, and then we're going to have all our guests here for information. So we're going to do the lesson question today, and we are going to see if Nick put this down here. Yeah, yep, here it is. How does Meryl Streep die in Mamma Mia 2? 215-263-WMMR. Nick keeps track of the lesson questions and hands them over to me, so I need to know, how does Meryl Streep die in Mamma Mia 2? What happens? 215-263-WMMR. If you're listening, you ought to know. Call now. We're going to do the trash fire call.
The trash business is a gold mine. 93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
It's brought to you by Dietz and Watson, Daryl Hall and John Oates Hoagie Nation. May 26th, presented by Dietz and Watson, a celebration of all things Philly. Tickets now at HoagieNation.com. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Lamar Odom is reportedly very despondent after learning that Khloe Kardashian has gotten back together with Tristan Thompson. Odom revealed to a friend that he truly believed that he would be the one always cheating on Khloe.
Oh, my God.
Gina Davis's husband filing for divorce after 17 years of marriage. Reza Jahari says it took him that long to realize she wasn't Gina Gershaw. And finally, Katy Perry and Taylor Swift are no longer enemies after Perry sent Swift an actual olive branch. Swift was so moved by the gesture that she texted Perry the key code to deactivate the car bomb. Oh. And that's your Hollywood trash.
All right, we'll see if somebody knows how Meryl Streep died in Mamma Mia 2. I'm going to go to Eric this morning. Hey, Eric, good morning, sir.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. Hey, Eric, so how does Meryl Streep die in Mamma Mia 2?
A gurney.
I'm going to give it to him. Not a gurney, but a gurning. He clearly knew what it was.
Yes,
but hang on a second. It was a tragic gurning accident. Which, for those who don't know, gurning is a face that people make. Sometimes you'll see them take out their false teeth and then they stick their bottom lip up over their top lip.
That's gurning.
That's called gurning. And oddly enough, Meryl Streep's character dies from that in Mamma Mia 2.
Very tragic.
She gets locked jaw and she can't breathe anymore.
Well, they just sang Gurning Queen.
Right. And
she dies.
So we are going to set him up with a pair of tickets to see William Shatner at the Academy of Music on May 17th, including a screening of Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, and a Q&A with Shatner. Tickets and information at KimmelCenter.org. We're going to do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Music news brought to you by the Center for Healing Addiction Treatment Center. Overcoming addiction is hard. Getting into treatment shouldn't be. Meet the different approach to addiction treatment at center4healing.com. Well, Dave Grohl nearly booked himself a return trip to that rock throne that he used on stage in 2015 after breaking his leg during a concert in Sweden. This time, Dave got tripped up momentarily during the Foo's recent set at the Welcome to Rockville Festival in Jacksonville, Florida. In footage posted online, Dave can be seen stumbling over a speaker on stage. This time, he was actually able to brace himself with his arms instead of hitting the ground below.
Wow.
He must have flashed back to that moment in June of 2015 when he tumbled from a stage in Gothenburg, Sweden. because he returned to the mic and told the Jacksonville crowd, "I almost just broke my effing leg over there." And he said, "Here's the way I look at it." We're watching the video right now. I haven't watched this yet, but I want to see him take the plant.
It's not too bad.
But he said, "Here's the way that I look at it. When you get close to breaking your effing leg, that means it's a good show." So, yeah, he needs to be very, very careful. And obviously, because he goes off of the main stage area a lot.
Oh. Boom.
And, yep, I see that. He could have taken a head tumble. He could have fallen all the way off the stage from that.
So. Or his wrists.
But he caught himself. Yep. Metallica has added a fun and unusual feature to its shows on the band's current European tour. At each stop, Kirk Hammett and Robert Trujillo have been covering a track by local musical heroes, often choosing songs that are far removed from the band's traditional metal sound. The Doodles, as the band refers to them in their set list, have been showing up right after Trujillo's solo in Anesthesia Pulling Teeth. While most of the songs are known primarily in their countries, a few are known in the U.S. and are hard rock classics, such as the Scorpions' Rock You Like a Hurricane, Accept's Balls to the Wall, Europe's The Final Countdown. But they've also performed out-of-the-box cuts like ABBA's Dancing Queen.
Wow!
Or Gurning Queen. Take on Me by A-ha and Falco's Rock Me Amadeus. And the Italian standard Volare as well. So they're kind of playing around with those. I think that's pretty fun and light for Metallica. I think that's cool. The band Ghost, who will be at the MMRBQ on the 19th, has jokingly called out Rihanna for wearing full papal attire on Monday night at the Met Gala, the annual costume ball and fundraiser event for the Metropolitan Museum of Art in Manhattan. Ghost called her out on Twitter by saying, "Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery." A reference to the band's now deceased frontman, Papa Emeritus, by the way.
Rats.
So they were just kind of having some fun with that, which is cool.
Yeah, it was a weird outfit she was wearing.
Yeah.
The Smashing Pumpkins filmed a new music video for their upcoming single, Solara. They did this on Tuesday. Billy Corgan released a photo of the video, which finds him standing next to a birdcage and looking similar to his Adore-era self. Solara is one of eight new songs the Reunited Pumpkins recorded ahead of their upcoming tour, although release plans have not yet been announced. And one last thing, Ringo Starr and his all-star band have just tagged on an additional stop in Atlantic City. The new show is set for June 1st at the Music Box. Of course, that's the smaller venue at the Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa. Ringo's June 2nd show at the larger event center is already sold out. So he's added a shorter one, a smaller one, I'm sorry.
That would actually be, if you're a Ringo fan, that's a much more intimate, I mean, it's still big, but it's kind of cool.
And I'm telling you, I went to see Ringo and his all-star band, and I wasn't expecting much, and had a blast.
Well, he brings, like, some heavy hitter musicians with him.
Yeah, Ringo will be featured in a special pop-up art gallery at the Borgata, which will run from May 31st to June 2nd, featuring the former Beatles artwork, and proceeds from the sale of the pieces will benefit Ringo's charity, the Lotus Foundation. The 2018 All-Star Band tour breaks up the longest-running version of the All-Stars, by the way, which stayed together from 2012 to 2016. That's the group that I saw. So gone from the lineup is Todd Rundgren and Mr. Mister bassist Richard Page, which, by the way, Richard Page was awesome.
Was he?
It was great. He's incredibly talented.
I'm a Todd Rundgren fan, too.
And replacing the pair is former All-Star Men at Work leader Colin Hay, toured with Ringo.
Hey.
Who toured with Ringo in 2003 and 2008.
Will he sing?
Yeah. So each member of the All-Star Band gets up and does a few of their own hits. So Richard Page from Mr. Mister got up and did. He did Kyrie Lay and Broken Wings. And Rundgren did. He did Bang on the Drum.
Oh, okay.
And he did. He didn't do Hello, It's Me. He did.
Great song.
I saw the light. So it was really, really cool.
Yeah. I love that.
So anyway, a new addition, 10cc bassist Graham Goldman will be added.
Were you a fan of the band 10cc?
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm not in love. I can't think of any other songs.
That it's called the original soundtrack, which is the album that has a whole bunch of just great songs on it. But the Lowell and Cream, I think, are the two main guys.
And
Godley and Cream, yeah.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
All right. And that is what I have in music news for you this morning. We have a guest in our studio, and we are happy to have him here, and it's early. It's a little little early for him to be here in the morning, but we got him. And you hear that revving up because there's a big MMR event on the way. It's called Mudder's Day. Your afternoon hardcore host is here. Jackson, ladies and gentlemen, is joining us.
That's the best intro ever.
A try.
Hardcore host. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds cool.
You're a badass. That's like what it means.
I like it.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you guys?
It is wonderful to see you. We don't get to see each other much. We work, you know, it's like working opposite shifts with anybody else.
Yeah.
And we don't get to see each other much, so it's nice to see you.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day. I see pretty much everyone. I think I might see Brent.
Yeah,
you guys.
But not us.
I saw Nick and Steve and Marissa at the Bon Jovi show.
Yeah, it was fun, man. Cool. It was really good. I was just saying, Nick, that, you know, talking to Jackson, it was just such a great vibe. It was
such a good time.
Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah.
I only get to see you when I'm actually driving home from work, and you're
I see you in traffic a lot. Yeah.
Well, because his Jeep
cross
is
cross paths.
Yeah, he's usually we're on the same road, just going in opposite directions, and his Jeep is. So recognizable that, I pass by him and I go, Jackson! And he always turns like,
Have you passed him on the Vespa yet?
Not yet. New Jackson!
Just getting back to Bon Jovi real quick, though. Jackson and I were standing next to each other with the whole Bill Weston debacle.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. And just to be there with you made it more enjoyable for me to see your reaction. And then it was you and me and Marissa hanging out afterwards.
Right.
Talking about what John was saying about Bill. And so thank you for being there.
Oh, the look on John's face before he went on stage when he realized his monitor was not working.
Oh, man.
Not happy.
Yeah, that's what we heard. We heard there was not happy time behind stage.
Well, maybe he won't be back for the 100-year anniversary we have of the show. Yeah. All right, so what about Mudder's Day, man?
Coming up this Saturday. This will be the second time we've done this. We did this last year. Actually, last year we got rained out because we had a nor'easter.
I remember it was a nightmare. Yeah, it was a horrible day.
Yeah, so we the rain date, I think, was in June. And then people were like, well, it's raining and it's called Mudder's Day. What's the problem? I'm like, the 70-mile-an-hour winds?
It was a nor'easter.
Kind of sucks for the vendors and their tents and, you know. But
much better weather.
It looks like it's going to be gorgeous, like 75 and partly cloudy or something. But we'll have two obstacle courses for the. You can see it on the TV in the background. Yeah. See the guys going over the logs. And
this is great
stuff. Yeah, it's a really good time.
So, and then this place is set up to accommodate, right?
Yeah, it's at Bridgeport Speedway in Swedesboro, New Jersey. And the gates will open at 11, and we'll run until the event officially starts. Gates will open at 10. Event officially starts at 11. We go to 3. We have two obstacle courses. One for more advanced guys. That's the one you see up there now. See, some of these guys will get stuck.
Yep.
And then we have one, like that guy. And somebody ripped out their axle on that one, actually, last year. And then we have one that's a little bit easier for stock Jeeps if you just want to get muddy. So a little bit of something for everyone. Spirit comes out with all their Jeeps. They put them out there on display. So if you come out and just want to be a spectator or you're bringing another 4x4 out just to have some fun and you want to look at some Jeeps, they'll have them on display out there.
This is a full, this is real deal. This is not, this. Yeah. But it seems like, as you said, just saying, all different skill levels, all different types of Jeeps are able to have a good time.
Yeah.
But it's very comprehensive. The footage is great.
Well, there's all kinds of stuff because we bought a Jeep. We have a Jeep now. Yep. And so we went out to a Jeep gathering. And some of it is just like a car show.
Yeah, yeah.
Like everybody parks, they get out, they have some refreshments or whatever, and they talk and they look at each other's Jeeps and see how people have modded this and that, and they share details about this. And that's real camaraderie there.
It's a real cool thing between Jeep owners.
And when is this? It's Saturday?
This is Saturday.
Okay, it's going to be like 90 degrees, man.
Oh, is it really?
It's going to be fantastic. Be partly cloudy and 90, good summer field day.
So we have a ton of vendors. We got Rita's Water Ice is going to be there. We'll have food trucks, Onken Moo Barbecue, Rigatoni's Mobile Crab Cakes, Two Street Sammy's is going to be there.
Wow.
We have vendors that all provide prizes for the raffle because we have a big raffle and give away a ton of stuff. So Spirit's going to be there. ExtremeTerrain.com, DHY Motorsports, 4x4 Brat, Liquid Iron Industries, 13 Cords, Jeeps at the Farm, Jeff Daniels out in your neck of the woods, Auto and Truck Outfitters. And all these guys, again, provide something cool for the raffle. So we give something away. You get a raffle ticket when you come in.
So do you do the more advanced run with your Jeep?
Yeah, I didn't last year. I'm not a fan of mud.
Yeah, really?
It's funny. We do this event.
I'm glad you said that.
And I'm not a mud guy. I'm a rock guy.
Okay.
Like, we go up to Rouse Creek and we do, I'd rather do a boulder field and huge rocks than mud. Mud is like, you want something to F up your Jeep. It's mud. And yeah. you'll be cleaning it out for 6 weeks.
Like, it seems like it would take forever to get it out. God. But there are some people who love it. I mean,
some people love it.
How modded is your Jeep? How much? You've gone crazy, right?
Crazy. Went a little crazy.
Do you have a snorkel setup on there?
I don't use a snorkel because, again, I don't really like mud and water.
Okay.
I had a really bad experience and got stuck in water up to my windows one time. And, you know, and I was like, yeah, I'm not a fan of this.
In that Jeep or in a
Jeep? In that Jeep, yeah.
Oh, did they have somebody have to get a winch and
pull
me out?
Yeah, we had to pull me out.
Yeah.
It it's this place up at Rouse Creek called 5 Foot Hole. And
it's 5 feet deep.
It's about 5 feet deep.
Listen, I was at a resort one time, and they had a Jeep excursion you could go in where you just ride along and they drive. And we did that where the water came up to the window, several holes we went into. And I'm like... I'm like,
you know, a little bit.
I just trust that they know what they're doing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Was it leaking in?
No.
Yeah.
Not when I was doing
when
it.
When I was stuck, I had to rip my carpets and everything out, which is, you're eventually going to do that anyway.
Yeah.
But I got stuck, and you see somebody stuck in some water there.
Yeah, we're looking at videos of this.
I went on a little ride with Jackson,
going to talk about that.
Which was like nothing, I'm sure, to him. But I was like, oh, pretty sure we're going to die soon.
She was miserable.
Up in the mountains.
Really? Seriously?
Yes.
I've never seen her like
that. So I think it was myself and Pancake and Marissa and
whoever
Joss.
Else
I think Joss.
And Sarah.
I had a full Jeep.
Yeah, we had a full.
Yeah, so, you know, every time I saw a little place to kind of tear off the road and you know, plow through some snow.
I was like, let me out.
Marissa was having the time of her life.
Oh, yeah.
This is great.
She probably would go on the hood if you would have let her.
Yeah. I think Kathy was going to get out and walk. We did get stuck once. Well, not really stuck because we got out
a little bit.
Own power. But
so what is the, like, you have... You know, obviously all these accommodations, there are people who really go like even far past what you have, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And that's part of the deal. It's just, as Preston said, you just walk around and talk about how you've modded your Jeep and what you've done.
Yeah, you know, it's just friends getting together to hang out with friends.
Wow.
And
it sounds cool.
Cool.
I don't even have a Jeep.
Gathering. Yeah.
Yeah. Even if you don't have a Jeep, right?
And I'm sure it's that way. Preston, you own a Corvette. I'm sure it's that way. You know, you got the Corvette clubs, you got them. Yeah. Yeah, you know, you got people that like minis. You've got people that together with Nissan Xterras.
Are you an official member of a club? Or do you just kind of visit others?
Well, the clubs are kind of, they're more groups. More like they're kind of rooted in Facebook groups. So, you're kind of a member of like 5 or 6 of them.
Okay.
You know, most of the people that are in Jackson's Jeep Club are members of like Garden State Jeeps and, you know, Infidel Jeeps or some of these other clubs that are around. But we all get together and support each other and all go to each other's events.
I see those Infidel stickers around.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's a buddy of mine, Will.
Hey, how much does it cost for this event or does it cost?
It's $15 per Jeep. Now, you can pile as many people as you want in.
Yeah.
So, Kathy, if you'd like to come along, I'll bring you. And if you're a spectator, it's free. So if you want to just show up in your Chevy Impala and park and watch, you can do that. It's free. They'll just send you to a different parking lot. You can show up in any four-wheel drive, really. $15 if you want to do the course. So it's $15 per car.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's nothing at all for what you're getting.
No, it's a good time. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Anything on the show you want to hit since you're here? Or?
I might play some Greta Van Fleet today.
All right. Very nice.
I might do some Led Zeppelin.
Breaking out of the usual.
Yeah. Oh, Greta Van Fleet, sold out show. We're going to have tickets for that to give away too Saturday.
Yeah, and we have Dorothy in tomorrow.
Oh, nice. Yes. She's awesome.
Your producer hooked that up.
Yeah. Yeah, she's actually buddies with her.
Really? Yeah.
Like that last time she was in town, they went out and
they went to Lorenzo's.
Yeah, did the town, went out drinking.
She's very cool. When she was in here, you know, how long ago was it with Dorothy before? A
couple of years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, cool.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys.
The weather's going to be quite different than last year. It's going to be fantastic.
Yes.
So all details for Mudder's Day right there on WMMR.com. And don't ever miss this guy in the afternoons on MMR.
Thank you, sir.
Great to see you. Jackson, everybody. Yeah, Jackson. And like I said, get those details, all of it right there. And you don't have to have a Jeep to go to this event. It's a great time no matter what. All right, with that, we are going to take a quick break. And you know what? I should give something away, Casey.
Oh, you know what?
Movie screening?
It's
tomorrow.
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
And we've got Deadpool 2, folks.
Jeez.
Deadpool 2. I'm going to give away... Bill, I'm going to give away 10 pairs of passes to go to this.
Defensive number.
It is at 4:30. You need to be at the Ritzies no later than 4 o'clock. 215-263-WMMR. The movie doesn't open until a week from Friday, and that's how out in front we've got the screening of it. So give us a call now. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Whether social.
Hey, welcome in.
Or anti-social.
Hey, get out.
Join your MMR pals on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Groovy photos, videos, news and social commentary. Plus, we find them the perfect place to waste time during the company meetings. Hashtag MMR rocks.
R.E.M. on 93.3 WMMR, the one I love, 10:34, Preston and Steve. Oh, man, it's a Wednesday, and we've survived that. You've survived this so far, midweek. We are heading towards a wonderful weekend. The weather's just looking great all week long. It does help take the sting out of some of the things that might be before you this week. May not make them perfect, but it can make them a little bit better. And we try to do the same thing for you as well. We got some thank yous to do today. And I want to thank Mr. Mark Zumoff for being on the program this morning. NBC Sports. Sixers are down 3-1. Those are some bad odds. But you never know, man. If they could pull this off, it would be history in NBA playoffs. So they're going to go for it, and they're playing tonight at 8 o'clock. So it was nice to have Mark on and get his perspective of the whole thing. Want to reiterate, I want to thank Jackson for being here, too.
Yes.
Stop by. Mother's Day is on Saturday, and all the details at WMMR.com. It sounds like a great event. And also, we made an announcement. It's the return of Philly's Hottest, and our category this time around, Daisy Dukes and Cowboy Boots. Woo-hoo. So. We are asking ladies to pop on their boots and to put on those short shorts and take pictures and send them in to us. There's $1,000 cash from Cowtown Cowboy Outfitters and Cowtown Rodeo. And if you want your Western wear, you've got to go to CowtownCowboy.com. And, of course, the Cowtown Rodeo, which is what it is.
Yeah.
The badass rodeo that's been around since the 1920s.
Yes. Wow. It's very cool. They have a set deal going on there, and apparently it's awesome. And they have a flea market and all this stuff that goes on throughout the week. It's very cool.
Right in Jersey. So visit the best show on dirt. Go to CowtownRodeo.com for more information. But if you're at least 18 years of age or older and you would like to enter the Philly's Hottest competition, make sure you get on that now. The deadline to enter is Wednesday, May 23rd. So we got a little window here. Just go to WMMR.com, click contest, and submit your info and 5 photos. And we'll let you know when those are in and when we are ready to present those to the audience to vote.
So awesome.
We'll get that started. Let me see. Oh, it's somebody's last day today. We got to welcome one of our interns and send them on their way. It happens from time to time.
No.
So it's intern Ian's last day today. And he's leaving us. How you doing, Ian?
I am just fine. Let me set this straight. All right, thanks, guys.
There you go. You're good to go now. How long have you been with us? When did you get started? Hang on. Fix the headphones.
Yes, please.
There you go.
We'll get take all.
They're
the
from
time.
Jackson's.
Take all
head.
The time you need, son.
Yeah, Jackson's screwing it up. Head.
When did you start here as an intern?
I started in January. And I think, ironically, my last day was supposed to be last week when you were sick, Preston. I think one of my first days, either my first day or my second day, Steve was sick. You had that big, huge illness.
Syphilis.
Yeah.
Syphilis, yeah. No, yeah. So but sickness is coming and going, but for the most part, it's been cool. And I think you've come a good distance to get here, don't you?
Yeah, Ian is yet another one of our interns who drives a long way here each day. How far? Where from?
Well, I go to school at Millersville University, so I drive an hour and a half. It's in Lancaster.
Lancaster. We appreciate it. Yeah.
That's got to be one of the furthest. I think.
Yeah.
We've had a Lancaster.
Well, Brittany was Brittany. from Millersville as well, and you know Brittany.
Yes, I do.
And a lot of people drive an hour and a half to work, but they're not doing it at 3:30 in the morning, you know?
No. No, and you know what?
Or for free,
yeah. It's all very much worth it. Well, when I started, I was like, I got to be insane to do this twice a week. And then I started coming over and over and over, and it's just been totally worth it.
Oh, cool. So,
been having fun?
Yeah, this has been absolutely incredible. You know, cool. Every day I come, it's something new. And It's just been a fantastic experience.
Excellent. Is radio or broadcasting something that you want to do as a career? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, very much. I have a focus in TV. I really want to be on TV. But I have a soft spot in my heart for radio, for sure.
Uh-huh.
I work on radio at school, but I've also been on TV numerous times over there in Millersville. So,
okay.
I'm looking forward to getting in somewhere, hopefully.
Yeah. Did you pick up anything from your experience here?
Yeah. This has just taught me how fast-paced the business is. You know, in college, they slow it down for you, but here it's go, 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 and you guys put on such a good show that, you know, there's not much room for mistakes.
Right. Yeah, though we make mistakes constantly.
Yeah. We go fast, people forget. It makes us sweet and endearing.
Yeah. Yeah.
We squeeze it in.
Yeah. Nice. Well, listen, thanks for your assistance, your help. We can't do it without our interns. There's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes. Marissa runs the whole program.
Yes.
And these guys do a lot of very, very vital things around here, so we appreciate it. And who's your favorite person here? Come on, man.
I'm sorry, guys. It's going to have to be Nick.
Oh, wow. Very good.
I walk in with Nick every morning I'm here. That's fantastic. Nice. Conversationalist. We have a good time at 3:45 in the morning, so that's all I can ask for.
You go home with Nick?
Yeah. He's got a place in my place.
Yeah, we crash, you know, every once in a while.
Ian's a big baseball fan, so we bonded over that, and he's going to be working with the Lakewood Blue Claws this summer, which is a great minor league team in the Phillies organization. So a single A ball, right?
Yep, lower A.
So if you're down in Lakewood, you can go see Ian and say hi.
Yes, please.
Hey, good luck to you, man.
Yay!
Thank you guys for helping out. Let's hear it for Ian, guys. Right. Leaving another one. We're throwing them out of the nest.
They go so fast now.
Seeing if they can fly. I know. It's just since January.
I know.
Remember when Joe was here for 3 years?
He was. He came over crazy with us from Y100.
He did. We actually imported our own interns.
Don't worry, Marissa. It was a long time ago, before there were any rules about interns.
It was
almost an indentured servitude at that
And they
point.
Were a little more relaxed on slavery.
Yeah. All right. We got to do the letter of the day. Ready, Case?
I got it.
There we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter
I, as in Ian.
All right.
Bye, Ian.
I know that
Bye.
Was really weird.
We want you back in Philly.
Yeah, it was a little bit like that.
We have a $500 gift card to Steven Singer Jewelers. $500 to get mom a whole bouquet of gold dip roses and Steven's I Love You to the Moon and Back necklace. Show the sweet loves in your life how much they mean to you. For memorable last-minute Mother's Day gifts, visit IHateStevenSinger.com. Let's see. We need to thank sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. And by Scruples Gentlemen's Club, the hottest girls in Bucks County, and never a cover charge. For more information, visit gotscruples.com. Tomorrow on the program, as Casey said, Dorothy will be joining us. So we'll have a live. Are we getting a performance?
Yeah.
All right. That's great. She's going to perform, obviously, at the MM Barbecue coming up on the 19th. We're going to talk to Will Wheaton tomorrow.
Yes, Will Wheaton.
I love Will Wheaton. So we will spend some time chatting with him. And we will have tomorrow two gentlemen from America Ninja Warrior, your host. We have Matt Eisman. Who's the host? And then we have Akbar.
Gabaja Biamila.
Gabaja Biamila.
Wow.
Yeah, former NFL player.
Nice.
Gabaja Biamila. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Can I call him Tina Babalina?
Yeah.
I'll do that. All right, that is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye bye.
Preston and Steve. On 93.3 WMMR. The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Sitting in traffic behind a Texas license plate, surrounded by the license plate holder that says New England Patriots. What the actual f***? Never before have I really wanted to rear end someone at 70 miles an hour.
Next message.
I love the fact that Kathy Romano, traffic extraordinaire, gets stuck in traffic herself and is so angry about it. We all got places to go, Kat! We all got places to go!
Next message.
It's Wednesday, my dude.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.